What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Flagrant 2 Podcast. Analysis by assholes, no easy buckets, water cooler commentary for your sports needs. We got Akash back.
Yeah.
Welcome back from the West. With a video from his favorite artist, Drake. Watch the guys playing video.
The eternal skeptic, Akash is.
Yeah, Akash doesn't like Drake. I gotta say, before we get into your feelings about the video, there are two things I learned from that video. One, Drake is an incredibly likable guy. Mm. And two, Floridians got horrible teeth.
You know, Floridians don't need fluoride.
Donated some fucking teeth.
There's a lot of things that Floridians need.
Brushes.
Fluoride for Floridians. Let's start that program.
Real talk, man. They need some shit out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Why you hate Drake, man?
I just committed to it, and now I'm not going to let go. That's really all it's come down to at this point.
I respect the stubbornness about it, because that's a really hard thing to dislike. No, watching that video.
He's genius.
And it's like...
Brilliant. It's even the haters are video. Just like... Yeah. Oh, he's gosh. One of the all-time greats. He might have a case for the greatest, even though no one's going to want to admit it now.
Yeah. He has a case. I mean, we don't want to talk about it now, just because, you know, it's happened kind of fast.
I just agree with Charlamagne's take before he got watered down, and it is that... He a little corny, and I just don't like my rappers like that. He cooler than me.
You said you just agree with not you disagree
no,
with.
No, I agree with Charlamagne's take of like, he's a gifted dude in general.
Yeah.
He's just a little corny, and I just don't like my rappers with a hint of corny. I've said this before, he's a Steph Curry of rap.
Yeah.
He's incredible. You can't deny the talent. It's just not my type of player.
Yeah. I don't know. I
want to play like Russ. I want to play like Kyrie. I don't want to play like
DMX.
There's one thing I'll say about this, about the video. I wish we could have watched it live, but there's, you know, streaming rights and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's genius in his marketing.
Fucking
every
so
other
good.
Rapper is throwing money in the video. Every other rapper
at strippers.
Is showcasing money at this, or at strippers, or buying shit for themselves.
Yep.
It's so selfish, right? Everything is about me when you're a rapper. Look at all this money I got. And now he makes all those other rappers look corny. Yeah. He effectively did.
That's the most that's the most ball in this shit you could really do.
Is give away.
Give it away.
So what he effectively did, I think, what Jay-Z was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Remember when Jay-Z was like, put the money on your ear, that we don't call that money over here.
Yeah.
And then rappers were like, yeah, that's cool. Hey, check out this money on my ear, you old fuck.
You know what it is, man?
But this shit right here makes you want to give away some fucking money.
It makes it seem cool. It's like, we're not going to the strip clubs no more. We're going to UNICEF. We're going to Red Cross.
Make these hoes struggle for this money, yo. Make them lose some teeth.
We are fucking taking our shit to the charity. The charity.
Instead of giving
club,
money to the strippers, why don't you throw it at their kids?
Exactly. And their moms.
That's what they're stripping for anyway.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's brilliant.
Might as well.
My one thing is I needed some research on like the situations these folks are in before receiving the money.
I mean, you could I don't want to say it.
I'm saying Will Smith, that movie where he was giving up a little piece of his body to everybody.
Yeah.
What's that shit
called? 7 pounds or whatever. 7 pounds? I think 7 pounds.
Seven pounds? It was some unit of measurement. Basically, he did the research. You know what I mean? He did the due diligence. He got the backstory. He's like, I'm not about to give my kidney to some guy who's a jerk.
It did seem a little.
I'm gonna give my eyeballs. Remember the scene with the blind dude? Remember he was, I'm going to give my eyeballs to a motherfucker. You about to see pussy for the first time in years. I got to make sure you really the sweetest guy ever. This one,
you
got to
be worthy.
Yeah.
It does. I mean,
he's
like, I'm not trying to make it seem like it's a... It's a bad thing what he did or whatever, but it does kind of make you how he settled on these people to give money
to.
So the first
mother son is just a kid who seems like he's an athlete. Like he's got the tracksuit on,
right.
Young kid.
He's black.
Yeah, he's black.
I think that's what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Seems like an athlete.
To be honest, a white kid dressed like that, I would think, was an athlete, just not as good. If we're keeping it 1,000 over here. But he just gave them like 4 stacks, and then a little girl in a wheelchair. His mom gets like a half a stack. Here you go.
Yeah.
It seemed like the wheelchair kid needed the stack a little bit.
But you can't
more.
Say that without hating it tremendously. So I didn't, you know, you just got to be like, you know what, this is a beautiful video.
Not a lot of ethnic diversity in the giving.
A whole lot.
I mean, Indians don't really need, so.
I didn't see any poor Latinos.
Well, I mean, they're on the...
Give money to Miami schools. Who do you think that was going to?
It looks like they're on Miami Beach or down in, like, you know.
Yeah. Definitely no white people there, huh?
There's not a lot of white folks there. It doesn't seem like...
Who lives in those tall buildings? I guess they don't need money.
The people in town for vacation or, like, Johnny Versace's fucking relatives of years past.
Nah, we're just hating. I think...
I am hating. I wish I could just blow $900,000.
Yeah, I've always heard people say that. Like, it feels the best when you give. Like, giving is addictive and that kind of shit like that. And, wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
Not
there yet, guys.
Not there yet. I'll give you some tickets to a show.
Word.
You know what I mean?
That's giving away Duce Palooza tickets.
Hey, here you go, sweetheart. Roll your ass in here.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just saying. I can't wait where I could have this kind of generosity. Nah, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Here's what sucks is you can't have a million dollar generosity, but you can have
donate your time,
donate your whatever.
I gave $200 to a homeless family once, man.
Nice.
How was that?
You wish you had it back, didn't you?
Nah, you know what's funny is like the next day there was some sneakers I really wanted and I was I'm like, they still gonna be homeless after this 200, right? They ain't gonna change. It's like one day of less homeless. You know what I mean? Oh, and I could have had them sneakers for at least a few months.
This is like a full family, dog. Like, I don't.
So they also got a stack.
Three kids.
I pulled up on this mother and her. It was a young mother and her daughter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't know how to say, "Are you homeless?" Because you know they had their bags and everything. I knew this bitch was homeless, but I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Are you a fucking homeless person?
Yeah, it sounds... What if they're not... On the off chance they're not, you look like a dick.
She's just out late at night. She wanted to get some fresh air or whatever like that with all her luggage, but whatever. So I go, hey, how you doing? And she goes, good. Can I help you? Is everything okay?
Sad, yeah.
Now, I understood why.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the feds, or some shit, she gets locked up, they take away her kids.
Yeah.
True.
So she was noticeably defensive. I kept it moving. And I had like a few $100 in my pocket I was going to give her. I think maybe like $125.
Had you decided
like
this beforehand, you're going to give some money away?
I was going to give her everything in my pocket.
Okay.
I decided.
As soon as you
I didn't
saw
count
her.
The money. I just decided I was going to give it. The second I saw her and the kids, and it was out at night, it was like late. It was like a Saturday night. I came from doing shows. It was probably 2 in the morning or something like that.
Right.
Right, on over an Astor place.
Right.
So I go, okay. It was this weird situation. It was like, the only thing I can relate to is like when you see a black guy that really looks like an athlete, but you don't want to say, hey, are you John Wallace? In the off chance it's not John Wallace. And then you have this like weird, where he goes, you think all black guys look alike? You know, this kind of like weird thing, right?
Stereotyping. So,
exactly, right?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, right? You don't want to.
It's always uncomfortable. But,
So I kept it moving. The next day, I saw her daughter, I think she might have 2 daughters, and then her mother was there as well.
Mm.
And it was late at night, and they're in the same spot, and the daughter was, I think, kind of sleeping. I just walked up, and I was like, hey, I don't mean to make you guys uncomfortable or anything like that. Do you guys not have a place to sleep tonight? And then they were kind of weird. They kind of looked around a little bit, and they were like, yeah, we're just trying to figure some things out. I go, okay, here's some money. Handle your business.
Mm. That's dope.
Very grateful. Felt really
amazing.
Good. Yeah, it did feel really good. Not on some, obviously, giving a stack to somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I didn't get no fucking tears. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I might have held that money for a little bit, like, waiting for some emotion. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, so.
Like, there was some thumb pressure on that shit.
One thing I respect about Andrew is he is openly in need of gratitude when he does something nice for you. Like, he don't hold, the rest of us will hold that shit in. Andrew openly will look at you in disbelief, like in a Larry David way.
Yo,
like,
son, you know when they turn the you know with the coffee shops now, they turn the iPad to you and you put how much?
Yeah.
I be going like this. I reach over so they can see it on their side before it flips. I need you to know how much you get, and there ain't going to be no anonymous tip out here. I will snatch back a dollar from a bar if the bartender leaves and then comes back.
Yeah,
I'll do all. I have no problem. For one, I've had awkward moments where I was like, here you go, bro. Here. And then he looked at me and was like, for a dollar? You want me to like a dollar? You put like a dollar, bro? Like, what's good? That's what I get out here.
But you know they don't share those tips, though, unless it's like straight cash.
What you mean?
Like
the
when
homeless?
You do like the tips. Like when you go and like turn over and like click like 30% tip or whatever. Like, that all goes into a pot and they split that.
Yeah, that's fine. But that's fine. I'm cool with all them.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. All right.
I mean, it is what it is, man.
I like to reward, like, specific service. Like, it's not
I'm with you, but then that's restaurant policy.
Also, funny Andrew story, and this is one of his whiter moments, is, you know, white people love to tip? Like, that's like a thing. Like, they take real pride in it. Like, we go to a diner. Andrew literally gets the wrong food. Like the wrong meal, straight up, wrong food comes out. This is like years ago. And then he goes to the waiter and starts arguing with him, like, yo, you gave me the wrong food. Waiter's like, nah, I didn't. And he's like, yeah, you did, dog. You gave me the, I ordered this, you gave me this. And the guy's like, nah, man, I didn't. He won't even look at what the fuck he wrote down. He's just like, nah, man, I didn't. This is New York service. He's like, nah, man, I didn't. That's on you. And he's like, you can eat it or you can not, whatever. And Andrew goes, he looks at me, or like kind of past me, like into the distance, just kind of gazing and contemplating everything. He's like, I'm furious. I'm livid. You know what? I'm only tipping 15%. Only tipping 15%? We shouldn't even pay for this meal.
Like, what?
It's not the meal we wanted. Let's go.
That is an explicitly white person thing to do.
I thought I was teaching him a lesson. I was teaching him a 5% lesson, son.
God, you could have got the 20%. You could have got it, but you're bugging.
Yo,
son.
I'm over tipping, yo.
Yeah.
Like, for real, I'm done.
I'll go between 15 and 20 if it's good, and if it's bad, you'll get like 10 to 15, and that's it.
I keep it real, man. Like, as a black person, you kind of always have to, like, over tip. Especially, like, when you're eating. You always got to compensate for, like, the stereotype. Like, yeah. Alex, like, when you got to eat, especially when you're in a group of people, and people go, oh, so what did you tip? It's like, oh, you know, you always make sure you have at least.
I think Indians know
70% to the highest.
I don't know how many years I've known Charlamagne. Never once has he left the right amount of tip when we went out to eat.
Like, never in a good one way or time. Bad way?
No, in a bad way. Never one. It's always the bill. He throws out a certain amount of money and he just thinks that that's enough. And I go, nah, everybody got to put in more money. Yeah, we got to leave the right amount of tip. So there might be some truth to this stereotype.
I don't understand. Charlamagne doesn't strike me as a bad tipper.
Not cheap at all. Just doesn't eat. He doesn't equate. It's just like, that amount of money is there. That seems like enough. Like, it'll be like a $200 meal. And it'll be like, yeah, but I left $20. $20 seems like a sufficient amount to tip somebody.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yo, so check it, right? And this is what I thought about. And I want to take credit for this shit so bad, but I'm not going to. Because I had a little post about how tipping is stupid. We're tipping a barista, right? And real talk, it's the least amount of work, right? All you do is you push a spout down, and then the coffee gets poured into my cup, and then you hand me the cup.
Let me tell you something. You tip a barista.
Okay, fair enough. The general population does tip. They have a tip jar or whatever. Let's just assume people tip.
Some people tip, right.
Not too much arguing up front about this, right? So, because we're on the same page about how absurd it is. It's a $2 cup of coffee. I'm tipping you a dollar. I'm tipping you at a 50% rate for this coffee, right? For the least amount of work, right? And apparently Bill Burr had a similar bit about like a deli, but my feeling was they don't even finish making the coffee. Like, I go, I'll have milk and sugar, and they go, milk and sugar's over there. Bill Burr had a bit, I think, about a deli, where he's like, yeah, mayonnaise and whatever, blah, 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 is over there. And then his response was, did you notice how you don't know who I am? And the guy's like, yeah. He goes, that's because I don't fucking work here. See how much funnier he is? Anyway. But in all seriousness, I do this tip about how it's absurd that we're tipping for fucking everything, right? It's wrong. And then this guy DMs me. He goes, listen, think about this. Why are we tipping on the percentage of the Why are we tipping a percentage of the cost?
Yes.
It's no more work to bring a plate of crab legs that are very expensive or a plate of bread to the table.
Think
about that for a second.
I'm with it. That's why I said Charlamagne's got a point. That's what I thought he was doing. He does have a point.
And I'm with you on that. I'm saying it makes perfect sense, and that's why I could see anybody in that situation. Yeah, I left $20. It seemed like $20 worth of work. He just came over.
And this is why black people I'm usually with usually have to overcompensate for this, because the way we equate tipping, or the way I've always equated tipping growing up, is like it's a service thing. You know what I mean? Like, you tip your barber for doing a great job. You tip like the fucking the guy who, like, if somebody washes your car, or like somebody that does an actual service. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if you go to a special restaurant where like they go fucking above and beyond to do some shit, I get it. But like, just like you said, like, it takes no It takes no extra work to carry over a chicken sandwich than it does to carry over
a plate of lettuce.
You know, a plate of lettuce or some shit.
Some of these fancy restaurants, the waiter doesn't even bring you the food.
Fam.
They got a separate brown person just for that job.
And you gotta like look at him too. Like, you know,
Latino or Indian, fancy, depending on how fancy the restaurant is.
If it's really fancy, they always go Indian.
That is an Andrew bit. That's an Andrew bit.
I noticed that because I was in some of these restaurants and I went to like Balthazar. You know, Balthazar, some fancy restaurant downtown. I noticed there wasn't one Latino working here. It was all Indians. And I was like, they just tried to upgrade the brown. Did you try to upgrade brown? I see what you do about the czar.
It's a it's quality of brown folks right there, especially in the service industry.
Yo, first of all.
Question, do you guys tip for Ubers?
I have to.
Son, I tip for the first time in my life just recently.
Really?
I tip for the first time in my life because the bitch.
You damn near got to suck my dick to get shit out of Uber.
Son, I'm telling you, though, and I shouldn't have said bitch. The woman had a pot of coffee.
Yes.
Oh,
I did see that this weekend.
That's tip for me.
Fam, I come back. how do I say this? I didn't sleep in my place. And I go, I'm getting this Uber in the morning. I probably slept like 3 hours.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Uber pulls up, and I'm like, man, I hope to God she got water. That would be perfect right now. But if she doesn't have water, that's totally fine. I go in there, and this sweet lady goes, can I get you anything? Do you want some water? Do you want some coffee? Whatever. I go, what did you just say? She goes, yeah, we got some coffee.
She had
a
full pot of coffee.
Damn, she had multiple coffees. She had like a French vanilla flavor coffee, another one.
Crazy.
And then she put that shit in a red Solo cup, which was brave, but like, because it's going everywhere.
Yeah.
But I could not have been more grateful of the coffee.
That's exactly. That's worthy of gratuity because I have gratitude for your service.
There you
exactly.
Go.
She went above and beyond. Son, I didn't even know what the tipping function of Uber looked like. I found it. I gave her free tickets to the show that night. She came out to the show with her daughter, who happens to be a fan.
Nice.
It was some random thing. But yeah, shout out to Robin Nelson. I love you. You changed the Uber game. Every Uber I go in from now on, I ask if he thinks about doing coffee.
You're going to walk in and somebody's going to have like a Coca-Cola freestyle machine. Like you want a grape Sprite.
Yo, it would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, God, shit. My thing with Uber, tipping with Ubers, though, it's like, I've had, like, a notoriously bad luck with Ubers, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this because, like, they have, like, a star rating. Like, I know you give, you know, the drivers star ratings, but I didn't know the drivers give you a rating as well.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize this until, like, two, 3 years into, like, using Uber.
Yeah.
And I found out my score was, like, a 4.5 or some shit.
Because
I never tipped. I was like, oh, thanks for the ride. Like, I didn't know that was
thing
you could do.
They don't get to decide based on a tip.
Yeah. Oh, well, either way. Trash. I was just trash.
Bro, you're trash at sitting in a car.
And what's the least your rating? My shit might not be good either.
Yo, my shit
Hold on. Let me pull up my Uber rating right now.
Like, I wait till they're downstairs and they call me for me to be like, yeah, I'm right here. And I just hop in the elevator.
Fam, we went to the All-Star game. No, we went to Deuce Palooza. We took an Uber. Andrew had this bitch waiting for like 20 minutes.
Jeez.
Well, I did?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, outside the thing. Wait. But that's understandable. Right, it's Deuce Palooza,
so,
bro.
That is true.
Come on. It's
and
Deuce,
like, the more I think about it, I'm like, you know, like, most times I take Ubers that aren't in the best circumstances. I'm either like about to get drunk or I'm already drunk.
Yeah.
And bro, it's really not.
I'm a 4.6 and I don't drink. So.
Yo, your talking game is trash.
You know what fucked me up? I'm not even lying. Was Philly. My girl lived in Philly, and I would take these Ubers, and these motherfuckers would be dickheads, and I would just give it right back to them. Because I'd just be like, I'm paying for this. What the fuck are you being asked for?
Treat me like this.
Yeah.
But they got a little bit of leverage, right? It is a kind of nice system in that it keeps us both fake nice.
Very true.
How do I find my Uber shit?
You go to the app, and you press the profile.
Oh, damn.
I'm a 4.56.
I'm 3.7.
For real? Be real. Let me see.
There's no way.
I knew it.
I'm a 4.63.
Oh, all right.
Ooh,
so
you got me by 0.02.
What you got?
4.61.
What you got?
4.5.
Y'all ain't shit.
4.86.
Oh, well,
yeah, but you fucking law enforcement, Pete. You probably pull out the pistol.
Young as fuck.
Pull out the pistol like, yo, you better give me a 5. What?
Don't Alex look young as fuck? I was telling him earlier.
Hey, ain't nothing like new pussy.
He look like he got. I asked him if you got
Alex
a facial.
Alex is extra exfoliated today, bro. Like, He's not Rosewater.
Alex out here killing a game, bro.
I respect it, bro.
Shout out to Alex. Man.
I saw his Instagram story. My man is doing the pull-ups where he just pulls himself all the way up. And then he does a fucking crunch and then started waving his feet back and forth like a fan.
Yo, he's out here.
Heartbreak
bro.
Diet, man. Ain't nothing like
nothing
it.
Nothing like it. Alex is he's wearing stonewashed jeans. Get it, Zach.
Man, now you're dressed like Uzi Vert.
Shout out to Uzi. Look at you knowing all your Philly rappers. You really are about that Philly life.
Yeah, I actually didn't know.
Yeah, it's from Philly. Yeah. He doesn't strike you as a Philly guy, doesn't he?
No.
Me neither.
Doesn't seem angry enough.
He's so jovial. Everything's good.
Guys, we want to talk Oscars. I know we did a lot more on tipping talk than we wanted.
I think that's a good idea to start.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I don't know if I said this in the group chat, but I want to say this to all of you. Mm. It broke my heart to watch Kobe get up there in front of all these Hollywood pussies and be like touched and honored and grateful. Kobe, you're too good for everybody in heaven. And I mean that sincerely. You are too good for everybody.
I probably agree
with I don't know if everybody in that room, don't get me wrong, but most of these like fake, pandering, I'm just going to say what's good. I'm going to hate on Weinstein when I knew this motherfucker was doing it the whole time, and now I'm going to come out about it. I'm going to take a moral high ground. The best hot take I heard about the Hollywood people when they come out against the wall for Trump, they're like, how dare he build a wall? And then they go to their gated communities, which keep out all the poor people that aren't even from another country. You don't even want Americans in your community, let alone people from other countries. All I'm saying is these people... Not all of them, but a lot of these people are completely spineless. They waver. They vacillate. They go, and they don't even realize it, right?
It gets really disgusting after a while to watch. Like, I was watching it, and it's like, we've all known, like, Hollywood's kind of been, like, a shit place, like, forever.
I've been through with actors for a couple of years, dog. I'm done.
I want you to finish. I just want to say one thing. The thing is this. What annoys me is, if they knew that all they wanted was acceptance. I'm in the acceptance business. I'm one of the, I'm an actor. Yeah. I have films coming out. I'm a stand-up, which is the most acceptance. Yeah, I'm on stage asking for acceptance, right? So I understand it. But they take this moral high ground like it is an acceptance that they want. What they really want is to be virtuous. No, it's not.
Mm.
If all of your fans wanted Trump's agenda, you'd be making Trump movies. You wouldn't give a fuck about the environment in a heartbeat. You will do whatever is politically correct and acceptable that will further your career. Mm. And the fact that I know that about them makes me see right through this. And the fact that Kobe could care about those type of people's opinions, like that, Kobe, you're a fucking...
Like, let's think about it right here.
You're the... I'm not even a Kobe fan, but this is greatness.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
this is true greatness.
If you rank all the people in attendance...
Fucking Glenn Close!
There's maybe like four or five people who have had a longer run of sustained greatness than Kobe. Like, it's Denzel,
son,
Meryl Streep, and then Kobe. And it's like, this motherfucker's been popping since 96.
And their greatness is subjective. Kobe's is not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kobe won.
Kobe couldn't suck dick to win a championship.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean? A lot of those girls in there suck dick to get their Oscar. You know what I mean? There's some lipstick on a collar to get your Oscar.
No, for sure. And I think we all have our little diatribes you want to get out. So, Kaz, what's
yours? I mean, it was kind of weird seeing Kobe, like, you know, be like that. You know what I mean? Like, he got his first Oscar in his first shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, him and Leonardo DiCaprio have the same amount of fucking Oscars, dog. Like, why are you really that hyped for this? Like,
son, does he have the same amount as Denzel?
No.
Denzel's got
a couple. He's got
a couple. He got two, right?
But
Training Day and what else?
Training Day.
The movie about the Civil War back in the day.
Best Supporting.
Glory?
Glory, right?
Glory.
Did he win
that was supporting?
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was Best Supporting. It wasn't Best.
Yeah, but still, it's an Oscar. But,
yeah.
It's fair enough. Yeah. But,
I mean, a trash one.
No, I just didn't know if he won.
It's like, once you watch the award show and you see the type of things that they're televising, it's like, oh, okay, they got to give it to Kobe. Like, in what other year are they going to be like, they're going to televise Best Animated Shorts, scripted? I'm like, all right.
This is exactly what I'm talking about with
ratings.
With the Oscars, it's all so phony. Of course Get Out was going to win.
Yeah.
Of course Kobe was gonna do it. Like, they're doing the thing that will pander to the people that they're making stuff for, right? Get Out. I didn't see Get Out. I heard it's a phenomenal movie.
I heard people say it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I heard unbelievable. I still want to see it. I'm not, but it was the right choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Like, it's political.
It was the political right
years
choice.
Ago, I bet our friend Michael Blaustein.
Yes.
Shouts to Blau. We on who would win best actress of the year? Sandra Bullock won, and he was like, no, because this he's like an actor. He was this lady gave an incredible performance. I was like, no one gives a fuck about the performance. Sandra Bullock is gonna win because that's what people are saying should happen, and that's really all it takes.
Yeah.
Get Out. Enough people say Get Out should win. Get Out will win. The first Marvel movie to win an Oscar is gonna be Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because you just don't want to deal with the uproar of it not winning.
That's true. Because what happened to Golden Globes? Get Out didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
People were heated.
They were nominated like in the comedy like section or something, right? Like
tight.
Some weird.
Oh, that's
shit.
Right. They were nominated in like the comedy section, and then there was all this talk. It's not a comedy. It's a serious thing. Da 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 da. It was all this bullshit, and all of a sudden, it was
that was funny moments in the movie, but I wouldn't call it a full blown fucking comedy.
Like, I think it's because of his background that they thought that.
And Lil
and there's comedians
and,
in
yeah,
it,
yeah,
et cetera. Like
guys, yeah.
Again, and I can't have like a true good opinion on it because I haven't seen the film just yet. Everybody who I've heard saw it or has spoken to me who saw it said it's fantastic.
It's a fun movie. It's a well written, all that type of stuff. One thing I'm just saying is it's like, I don't know why we have to pretend like this shit isn't fucking boring as fuck.
Oh, I didn't watch at all. I didn't know who won except Kobe. You guys texted me about Kobe.
Yeah.
I didn't know who won till this morning. This is just the women's NFL combine. It's some shit that you're watching that you don't need to watch. You could just read
the results.
It's wrestling for gays. Is it not?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what the Tonys are.
Yeah.
Or some shit like that.
I'll say
the Tonys are that, right? But isn't that what this is? It's just like wrestling for beta males, right? It's like it's all scripted. We know how it's going to go out. These people are going to give these dumb virtue signaling speeches and then go back to their private homes.
And that's
and they have like the wackest, like they have this segment that they do every year. They always want to have like this viral moment where, like, I think the first time they did, I think when Ellen was hosting the awards or something like that, and they took that big selfie with all these famous folks.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
this year, they're like, yo, we're going to go next door to this movie theater, and we just need some famous people to come, like, watch the, I guess, A Wrinkle in Time with people. And they were like, we're going to shoot hot dogs into the crowd and bring cotton candy and yada, yada, yada.
Get the fuck out
and
of
it's such
face.
A contrived fucking moment.
Ellen, for the record, Ellen is a beast,
shock.
I think, but I want to see real Ellen once. I like Ellen. I like Ellen the way she is.
Ellen's a beast.
But Ellen, a real one, and I know it, and I just want to see her come out of pocket once or twice.
No, that's a
Shane,
great
Shane
fucking
messing
point.
Messing up that pocket,
because
her pockets, bro.
Yeah, you can't have that level of success sustained for that long without some cutthroat gangster in you.
Oh, you got
and
to.
You we just never ever get to see it.
Damien
and she
saw her
can
at
eat pussy.
Our homie Damien Lemon saw her at a party one time, and he was like, yo, Ellen got that party jumping. Like, Ellen was in there dancing like, he was That's like, Ellen, was, yeah, Ellen did it. My last rant about the Oscar, I've done
this
a lot.
Photo, yeah,
go,
about actors and the hypocrisy of pretending you care about poor people when you literally, fuck a wall. They have bodyguards. You have a human wall that you just keep people out of your way from.
Yeah.
The idea that you know anything when you're a fucking theater major, you don't have any answers.
Yeah.
You literally took an entire class on how to breathe. Suck my dick. You think you know something? That took you 5 months? That's 5 months? But just some of the hypocrisy when I think about the Oscars, I think about Meryl Streep last year.
Yeah.
Like, my girl had this speech fucking playing loud. Oh, Meryl Streep criticizing Trump. Turns out she knew about Harvey Weinstein
the
this
whole
time.
Fucking time. All
the whole
industry
did.
And all these bitches did. But we know for a fact she did, and she is the goddess. Nominated 40 times or whatever.
I just didn't like how she came at sports last year. Remember, she's like, if without the art, there's all there is left is sports. Let me tell you something. Nothing has brought more friendships together, at least with men, than organized sports.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
Every one of my friends outside of comedy, and comedy gets close to sports, but it has been from basketball.
Here's a fucking point.
Yeah.
You know how...
Just let me finish that. No friendships have ever been formed from a Meryl Streep movie or a Glenn Close movie or anything like that.
Bridges in Madison County ain't bringing nobody together.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Like, I will be at a game and somebody hit a big shot and I'm hugging a total fucking stranger.
Bruh.
I'm not going to watch a great Meryl Streep movie and just hug a total stranger.
No matter how good the movie is, I didn't slap fives with anybody after that.
To this point, Hollywood claims they want to bring all the races together, right? What's the number one type of movie? The only type of movie that only seems to bring the races together? Sports movies.
Yeah.
Based on real events.
Yeah.
Sports does it, and then the only way you can do it is by imitating.
It's emotional, true, man. It's poetic sports. That's why we love it. That's why it brings so many people together. Also, I love this picture, by the way, because it looks like Dave Chappelle still pressing Jordan Peele.
Oh, it does.
It's like, you stole my show, motherfucker.
Yo, this is funny. Now Dave want to be friends with Jordan all of a sudden.
I don't think he's trying to be friends, dog. Like, he looked like... I hope he keeps that
same energy, because he be popping off like he invented sketch.
That's what I'm saying.
You
like,
ain't invent sketch, Dave.
He was like, you know what I mean?
Dave swears that he's the first person to ever have a sketch.
He's like, I love Comedy Central. I see all these people trying to do my show. And he specifically said Key and Peele. Like,
but what is so unique about his show? He had a sketch show.
It was a sketch comedy
show. Weirder, he said the same thing about Amy Schumer, and I love Chappelle, but then he had Amy Schumer open for him at the Garden, or at Radio City. Now, maybe that's the flex.
I was about to say, that's kind of a flex.
Maybe that's the flex. It's like, he's still open for me.
Yeah, but that's Jay-Z signing Nas.
Exactly. Exactly.
So maybe that's the flex.
But all I'm saying is keep the same energy. If you're going to call someone, I just don't understand the claim. How could someone steal a show when it's just sketch?
That picture don't look friendly, dog. Like, the energy look like it's kept.
Don't want it.
Yeah. Jordan is like, one of us does not have an Oscar here. And if they could please leave the group, that'd be great. How did Anthony Anderson end up here?
Blackish is phenomenal. Watch Blackish.
No, I heard it's a great show.
Phenomenal.
Blackish is a great show.
Best show on TV.
I watched Hang Time. Shout out to y'all. Remember Hang Time? Anthony Anderson. Y'all remember Hang Time from TNBC? Way back in the day, that basketball team from Indiana. And he played
dude. He didn't have a father in that shit?
Yeah, there was a girl on the team
and
shit.
I thought it was the high school show.
There was high school. Yeah, it came on after Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, I saw an episode.
Yeah. That's our first one, Anthony Anderson.
But, two other points about how ridiculously hypocritical the Oscars is.
Yeah.
This entire thing, time's up. Me too. You know who nobody said a fucking word about? Who's still revered as a god? Woody Allen is still revered as a god because it's just allegations. I've seen articles. Oh, these are just allegations. You know what's a fact? He married his adopted daughter.
Allegedly.
No. That's real. The adopted daughter. Nate McIntosh has the best line. You can't adopt something and then fuck it.
Yeah,
you just
can. I bet, but you can.
But he did.
Man,
did.
Really can, though. Now, the thing about Woody is that... and I'm not out here defending Woody. I think it's absolutely weird. But the way the perception of what happened was a little bit different than the reality. Mm. Right? It wasn't his daughter. It was his wife's daughter. He never lived in the same house as her. Right? They weren't like this father-daughter relationship, and he raised her, and then all of a sudden he started having sex with her. It's not like, you know, like when you have chickens and then you eat one. You know,
his wife's adopted daughter, but they didn't ever live in the same house?
Yeah, he lived in a different house.
As his wife?
Yeah.
Still kind of gross.
Super weird, man.
I'm not saying it's not gross as fuck. I'm not saying it's not weird. But the one thing that gives me like pause about calling him out that is they're still together. Like, if you were a pedophile, you're not going to let her grow. You know what I'm saying? This guy's the worst pedophile
ever, fam. Once he hit 17, you're like, you look a little rough around that.
That's what I'm saying. And then he locked it down. He's still with her. Like, on some level, maybe that's his soulmate.
Maybe that's the only one that stayed with him.
All right, this is getting weird.
Yo, maybe it's his soulmate, son. Think about that shit.
Bro. I can't ride this ride with you guys. I'm getting off the roller coaster, bro.
Let's get into some shit. What are we talking about?
Talk about some sports, goddammit.
Anybody, I talked about the combine earlier. Anybody care about the combine?
I cared.
Oh, I love
it. I cared about the combine. I cared about the underwear Olympics.
I was trying to think of what, I just called it the Olympics in my notes.
That's the underwear Olympics.
But it's the underwear Olympics, man.
That's what they call it.
Oh, it's known that. It's a known term, right? Oh, God, it's just so great. Like,
you watch it, though? You, like, watch it or you read about it?
No, I watch it like SNL. If something good happens, it pops up on my feed.
There you
go. I'll be honest. There's certain parts of it, as a black dude, it makes
me just a smidge
uncomfortable.
Why? Explain that. Yeah.
I don't mind watching, like, people run the 40 or broad jumps or, like, test of strength or whatever.
Yeah.
It's when people get to, like, measuring hand size and arms. Like, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, nerdy white people around this large black man
with a tape
measure to, like, their head and neck and arm.
It's also like slavery.
It looks like he understands
it's different, but it's just a little weird to see that again, I assume.
Like, I have enough nuance to understand, no, it's not slavery. These are people, like, about to make millions and
they're there by choice, right?
And they're there by choice, obviously. Just the optics are just a little...
I agree with you. The optics seem weird, but I'm hesitant to use the slavery analogy because I'm sure these people measuring
have this down to a literal science, right? Yeah. For example, a bigger hand for a quarterback allows you to pump fake a football better. A smaller hand.
Fumble less, that's what they think.
Yeah.
Right, but there's also the idea of like pump fake. If smaller, like a wet hand. For example, you play in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's going to be shitty weather. I can't have small hand quarterback in Buffalo. I could have a small hand quarterback in a dome.
That's why they thought Johnny Manziel was going to be fine in the next level.
Because he had big fucking hands.
Large hands.
Exactly, right? So I guess what I'm saying is when you see them measuring, and while the optics are real tricky, the way I go back to it is like, these guys are about to invest millions of dollars in somebody, right? It is no different than when you have the FBI makes you take a reasoning test, right? Or I'm sure these tech companies have a sit down with you and they say, well, my buddy got picked up for, he was working for not Deutsche Bank, but like some French one.
Okay.
And they gave him a series of questions that didn't have a real answer, but they tested how you got to the answer.
Yeah, Google
So yeah, they were measuring his hands, but they were measuring his brain processing power. They were like, how wide is the world? Tell us how you get there.
Gotcha.
How would you measure the world? And like he had to break down how to the foot how wide the fucking world was and how he got to that answer. So that's the same thing with football.
I don't think
optics is crazy.
Yeah, like I don't think there's a coach there like in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and somebody like reaches over for like that 1 inch first down. It's like, oh man, we're real glad that guy measured with that extra inch of a finger.
No, but there's people who do. But I think we both know they're not, the owners aren't like, hey, you know what would be fun? Let's make them slaves. Like, I don't think that's what we get them. Like, let's just have a whole week event to just make them slaves. Like, but it makes sense why they do it.
Yeah.
But it just looks weird.
Dude,
there's a reason why they don't hire women at construction sites. Right?
Yeah.
It's because they do a combine and they can barely lift a cinder block. So like, why don't I hire those guys that are good at lifting cinder blocks, right?
And that's why we make a big deal of a woman working in a construction site. Because like, look at this one woman.
She's probably really good at fucking lifting.
Really good at this shit.
Every woman
at break down the walls, you know?
So there's another one like with firefighters, right? There's a requirement to be a firefighter. They make you run a certain, they might run a certain distance at a certain speed. You have to lift them a certain amount
of
weight.
Yeah, you gotta do that Ric Flair drill.
You gotta do the Ric Flair. They got a combine for firefighters. As they should, because you might have to get someone out the fucking fire, right? So I think it's just the same thing, only you pay these motherfuckers a lot more.
Yeah,
so
you invest a lot more.
I need to know how big your hands are, dog.
We get it. No, we get it.
Yeah. The two big stories out of the combine were going into it was the whole Lamar Jackson working out as a wide receiver, which I thought was bullshit, which I did call on this podcast months ago. I'm like, watch, they're going to say he's not ready to play NFL quarterback. They're going to try and put him in a different position just because he's fast and he's quick and he's slight of build. And, but nobody says shit about Baker Mayfield, even though they're the exact same size.
I think there's also a little country bias with that.
Baker Mayfield ain't as athletic as
They have the same build is what
sure,
I'm saying.
But don't put them in the same category of athleticism. Yeah. Baker Mayfield used to be a fat kid. Lamar Jackson's always been
Lamar
athletic.
Lamar Jackson's
freak.
A fucking all-world athlete.
Yeah, can we talk about Hook?
Hook, we're talking about...
That's right. Yo,
what's his name?
Shaquem Griffin. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but dude, this kid... It's just great.
He's everything.
Just made me smile.
It's hard to find certain things about the NFL to like smile about.
Ugh.
That was such a feel good fucking story, dude.
Bro, you know what impressed me more than the 40 is the bench.
Yes.
25 times. 20 times.
Ugh.
20 times, essentially with one arm. I wonder how much effort. So, guy, for everybody who doesn't know, who is not watching NFL football, there's a kid who played at UCF, and he played linebacker at UCF named Shaquem Griffin. Griffin. Mm. And
he has a brother who plays for the Seahawks.
Okay.
Well.
All right. Yeah. Okay, good. So he's got in a fam, and I don't know if it's he has a nub. But he basically has a nub. So he's missing his hand. He has everything up to the hand. It's like chopped off, right? It's on some like Darth Vader shit, right?
Like Jim Abbott.
Or for real.
Yeah.
So, and what they did is they put this device on his wrist that allowed him to lock onto the bench press bar, and he threw up 225 pounds 20 times. And then he did a 40-yard dash, and he measured the fastest 40-yard dash since they started.
4.3.
For the linebackers.
4.38.
Fastest speed time since 2003, since they started measuring 40s for linebackers.
Yes.
So, like, fast as fuck. And, you know, killed every drill.
Mm-hmm.
He went from maybe a second-day pick to, like, maybe a second-rounder.
Hold on. You think that he'll get picked?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Really?
He went from third day pick, which is like, because now it's one and then 2-3, I think.
Right.
To now, like, people are saying lock top 100 pick.
Yeah.
So now he's a second day pick, top 100, Not locked, but like that's where everybody's got
So here's my question. Do we allow him to wear some sort of prosthetic that makes him able to catch a football?
No.
You can't add anything because I know there's certain players who have a broken hand or broken fingers, and what they do
JPP.
Is JPP has a certain, but I'm talking about the guys who just they put a cast over the entire hand. They just turn it into like a
club,
like a club. Yeah. Gotcha. You've seen that,
yeah,
before,
that's,
right?
That's what JPP had.
Like, oh, so they just clubbed it up
for a minute when he first came back, he was just like a fucking. It was like he was walking around a big fucking frying pan on his hand.
So but. The question is, how much more can you add? Right, because if we let him add something, then players
get an unfair advantage. Yeah,
players could essentially go, "Hey, well, I want to add 4 inches to the tips of my fingers on my gloves, so I can bat down passes."
I don't think
you can, because I think it's going to have to. It would if they did. I don't think you should, but if they did, it would have to be identical size to his other hand, probably.
Yeah,
that is brilliant.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you can't be like, "Let me get a 4 foot prosthetic."
good call. So. Yeah. We will allow you to add something.
Yeah.
It will be the same size as your other hand. Right. It can't be anything bigger.
But I don't think he's going to. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy who wants
like,
that.
When he was running receiver drills, he wasn't wearing anything on his hand. He was catching it like with his hand and his forearm. So it was just like he was just going in and playing defense, doing, I don't know, the fucking shuttle drill or whatever, where you do like the Z thing.
Yeah.
And then they throw you the ball. And he was just catching it with his arm and shoulders, like no hand. Which amazing. was fucking amazing to watch. That's how I was like, amazing. Nah, this, I'm like.
And I remember reading about him at, what's it called? Senior Day. They said he was looking good at Senior Day.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy, when he runs the 40, I mean, somebody that size, like when you see these little guys run the 40, yeah, it's impressive because of speed.
Yeah.
But you're like, if he ran into me that fast, I could handle it. This guy
running
imagine being on the other end of that.
I told you this months ago. They're the biggest freaks of nature in sports.
Still, but seeing that,
yes,
like seeing the acceleration, like a guy like Rob Gronkowski, when we had Spencer here yesterday, he had a great point. He's like, thing about Rob is when he gets to full speed, you can't chase him down. Takes him a little bit to get there.
Yeah.
But this
once
guy
he's at top speed, it's hard to
this guy's
get
at top speed like three, four steps in.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He's a freak. I was watching a lot of NFL Live today, and like you said, he went from a third day pick to like, you know, all like Mel Kiper and all these guys, like, oh yeah, no, he could definitely go on the first or second day in like the second round. Like they said, I think somebody said absolute latest third round for him now.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's incredible. I'm rooting for him, man. I hope a team takes a chance.
The NFL could use it, man. The NFL could use it. They could use one fucking feel-good story.
One,
dude,
right?
Absolutely. And some groupies could use that.
Yeah. And he can't, I mean, really, he can't even that realistically hit a spouse.
Are you kidding?
I mean, he can, but
he
like,
the best, but there's no fingerprint proof. He's not going to be choking her.
Doing
no.
Thick for you.
No, no. But I'm talking about like that thing right there, dude. You know? It's not fisting, it's wristing, but you could. Dude. Shaq, you are going to make some groupies very happy, okay? Ain't going to be no, I can't get it up tonight, boo.
Oh, God.
That shit is good to
just
go.
Just oil up that nub and just
real
go to
talk,
go,
man. Oh,
go
my
to work.
God.
Saquon Barkley, Penn State beast.
This guy is a I watched YouTube videos of him lifting. Have you seen him?
Yeah. I've watched him for a while.
God.
I've watched him for a while. And we was talking about it last week when Spencer was here. We was talking about, you know, how some high school players just aren't ready for the NFL. Like, you can't go from high school to the pros like that. And he's like, the only person I've seen, he said he's only seen do it is like Adrian Peterson.
That's right, AP,
and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this kid Saquon Barkley, man, he is fucking, he's Marshawn Lynch with breakaway from the cop speed, which is like ridiculous. And not only that, the combine he kills, he's far and away the best prospect in the draft. The Giants have the number 2 pick. The Browns have the number 1 pick. The Browns need everything. If you're the Browns, do you essentially you're giving the Giants exactly what they need? You know what I mean? You give a back like that gives Eli Manning another 3-4 years of his career.
Facts.
A back like that
facts
gets Odell Beckham a lot of one-on-ones going deep. Whoa.
Like, guys, the Giants don't have a line.
They don't have a line.
No running back on earth Barry Sanders is the only one I've seen in my life good enough to run without a line.
But now you can spend money on that line because the person you are drafting
is so cheap.
It's so cheap.
It's a good point.
First round picks aren't super cheap. But cheaper. But they're cheap also, Eli eats up cap space. They signed a bunch of free agents. Olivier Vernon got a huge contract.
True. And they still got to sign Odell.
Janoris Jenkins got a huge contract. Odell. Now, I'm not saying this is the wrong pick. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets him gets a talented player. And there's a debate I heard a while ago. If you think Barkley's by far the number one player near the Browns, don't you just take him number one and then get a quarterback at four?
Yeah.
Because the Giants might take a QB. They got two top five picks. So if he is that guy, and I didn't see any of the combine stuff, but I was reading just about him in general. I read most people really high, one or two that are like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's going to be good, but I don't know. Anyway, if that's your guy, though, don't you just take him one? And then there's three quarterbacks that people are kind of grouping together. Rosen, Barkley, and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So you'll get one of them at four.
If I'm the Browns, I'm going to learn from my mistakes and stop drafting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. Yeah. And this will get us into an interesting conversation, which is the demise of the quarterback.
All right, go ahead.
We'll get there. I'm not talking about my opinion. I'm talking about in the opinions of GMs around the league.
Okay.
So demise of quarterback in terms of its importance. If I'm the Browns, clearly my offensive line has not been good enough to protect any marquee quarterback that I've drafted in the last 5 years.
You really drafted any marquee quarterbacks?
They've had
a lot of hype
Manziel.
Quarterbacks.
Manziel. I mean, what's it called? RG3.
The bag of bones that was RG3, not like electric first round RG3.
Fair. But I guess my point is, if I'm them, I'm trading those two top five picks. Mm-hmm. I'm trading 1 and 4, and I'm getting as many potential linemen as I can, offense and defense.
Yeah.
Because it fucking starts there. Let's build it from the ground up.
Yeah.
Let's get guys that I know, maybe not this season, but in the next few seasons, have the potential to, one, lock some shit down on D and make it easier for my DBs, mm-hmm. and protect whoever is in the pocket.
If someone is willing to trade up, yeah, sure. Right. That's what they did the last 2 years, I think. Last year for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want our high picks? Cool. We'll take them. We'll trade down. We want your high picks next year and this year. And so a number one pick is worth a shitload. They have like draft charts on how much a pick is worth.
Yeah.
The number one overall pick is worth, I mean, RG3 was, they traded up to number two to get RG3, the Redskins. Mm-hmm. They gave their first round pick that year and the next 2 years.
Yikes.
So they gave up two extra first rounders and then I think a third or something like that. So like, if someone offers you like that,
Take that.
Someone needs to want Saquon Barkley or whoever that badly.
Fair. Okay. So the reason I say the demise of importance of the quarterback, Blake Bortles gets signed.
Yeah.
Gets extended. Right? Pretty big deal.
Okay.
When we saw him play mediocrely.
Right.
Mm. He had a decent postseason.
Yeah. The Redskins sign
Alex Smith. They
trade for Alex Smith instead of re-signing
Kirk Cousins,
who is a very good quarterback.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins,
right?
And I think he's going to do well wherever he goes. Hopefully, the Jets.
So both teams make a decision to downgrade in the quarterback position because they don't believe that it's important enough to win, right? I think there's more teams. I think. Oh, I mean, Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about plays okay and they won. Actually won the Super Bowl. Do they have Carson Wentz? Yes. Do we believe he can come back? Yes. But, I mean, part of you as a franchise has to look at the situation and go, wow, this guy's a gamer.
Yeah.
We don't know if Carson Wentz is a gamer. We don't know if he's playoff ready.
I mean, Carson Wentz he would have been the MVP.
I think he would be a gamer, but you have empirical evidence that Foles is a gamer. You don't yet have that for Wentz.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying, it seems that teams, maybe for the first time in our lifetime watching sports, it seems that teams are moving away from the we have to have a marquee quarterback model.
I think. Go ahead.
To your point, what you're saying is half true. Okay. Because it's almost like the NFL back in the day, it almost feels like if you would have got a quarterback, a marquee quarterback could fill in a lot of voids.
Right.
Whereas now it kind of feels like you got to fill in those voids first.
And then,
like, look at the Houston Texans. for years, they were building around defense and running, defense and running, it's defense true. And running. They had Andre Johnson for a number of years, and then they finally get a fucking quarterback in Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And, like, he was the last piece of the puzzle. Had he stayed healthy, they would have made the playoffs. They would have made a night. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Eagles. Like, they had decent quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Carson Wentz has been their first guy that was, like, that picked high, highly touted when in a small school and, like, in the big scouting.
Yeah.
He was a big scout find. You know what I'm saying? Like, you plug him in here, he's going to be great. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what I mean? Like, the Niners were trash for a while. But, I mean, you plugged him in there, and that's the one thing all these scouts used to say about Jimmy Garoppolo when he was watching, like, when he was backing up Tom Brady and when he was injured or for Deflategate, whatever. They were like, yo, the tape is there. Like,
he can ball.
He can ball. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It seems, here's what I think we might be seeing a shift away from. The Jags had to, I was reading some Barnwell article. I didn't read it all because it's just too many words. but he basically said the Jags had picked up the fifth-year option on Blake Bortles last year. This is coming up as his fifth year. So this is the year they had already extended, and they guaranteed it for injury. You can guarantee a contract for performance or for injury. Guaranteeing it for injury means no, even if he's hurt, you still got to pay him. And he's got this wrist problem that's like he needed surgery last year, and now they're not sure about it, but they got to pay him regardless. So they extended him to lesser the cap impact this year. It's my understanding.
Oh.
And they're spreading it out basically 2 years guaranteed, third year not so much. I think it's something like that.
So now I have some. If I'm Coughlin, I thought Coughlin was going senile. So now I have the opportunity. If I'm Coughlin, to, I have a little bit more room under the cap.
Yeah.
I can get a couple more pieces. I have this quarterback who can manage a game. I got to pay him anyway. Now maybe I can get somebody else or I can draft.
No, we love Coughlin, but that was a mistake. I think last year you saw the writing on the walls bringing it back to the Redskins. They never believe in Cousins for whatever reason.
Mm.
They were sold on RG3. Dan Gilbert, Dan Snyder, sold on RG3, never really believed in Kirk Cousins, and neither did whoever else was in the front office. So when they franchised him last year, we all kind of knew he's gone. Somebody's going to trade for him, we thought the Niners, or a free agency. They're not going to give him another franchise tag because it'd be like $40 million. And nobody's going to sign him long-term. They don't want to sign him long-term, so he's gone. I don't know. They just don't believe in him. He doesn't seem as good as Tony Romo, but when I was a Cowboy fan watching Tony Romo, I bagged on him. And then the 1 year he finally had a good line and a good run game, I was like, oh, this is what football guys have been saying this whole time.
Romo, yeah.
Kirk Cousins isn't that good, but I kind of feel that way about Cousins. If you put a great team around
you're
him,
good.
The Jags would have been a fucking problem with Kirk Cousins.
Facts.
The Vikings, now here's the issue. This is what we're talking about, teams maybe moving away from. I think teams are more hesitant to allocate that much percentage of your salary cap to a QB.
Right.
Kirk Cousins is going to eat up a huge percentage of your salary cap.
Right, so then you can't
pay all these other players, and then the team suffers, and then what do you do?
Okay,
that's a conundrum.
Maybe we're going to watch in our lifetimes the quarterback position not be the most the highest paid position on the team.
Yeah, or just not by that much. Like you're going to be like
it's
a slight notch above D end and left tackle and whoever.
I mean,
else.
It started
or corner,
like,
right?
It started, bro. Like fucking
corners.
Before Odell got hurt, he was like, I want to be the highest paid player in the NFL, regardless of position.
Yeah.
And had he not gotten hurt, he might have been.
Wow.
Even for a season or two, he might have been.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you see how these people are getting paid now. Like every year. Somebody different. Like right now, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Next year, when Aaron Rodgers' deal is up, he's going to be the highest paid guy. Then it's going to be fucking Breeze. Then it's going to be somebody. You see Aaron Rodgers leave?
I think he should leave Green Bay. Yeah.
Why should he leave Green Bay?
He's a god there. He'll never leave.
I don't think that they'll ever put the team that he needs around him.
I mean, he's the team.
I know. He's been dealing with scraps, man. Like, go somewhere where you have a real chance.
He's had some talent.
He's had some talent. I mean, like he's had some offensive talent.
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson's pretty good. What's his face? The fucking
Cobb?
Randall Cobb. There you go. The scat back dude.
Yeah, all right.
They had Greg Jennings for a bit. He was nice.
They need a
running back. Yeah. I mean, they were taking the receiver and they were making him a running back.
Yeah, I forgot
Ty Montgomery or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need a running game for sure.
Like you have arguably the best quarterback in the game, arguably. I mean, Tommy, but you have up there one of the best to ever play the game.
Yeah.
And they need a Saints
like
draft
playing running back.
They need a draft like the Saints had. The offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. studs.
Jeez.
The Saints had a
How lucky did you get?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And now, and again, these players on rookie contracts are super cheap, and you got them for 3-4 years, locked up 4 years.
Right.
Now you can give a ton of money to your quarterback and not have to worry about it. Because these guys don't get paid for 4 years.
No. Everybody that's a soccer fan is listening right now. They don't understand the idea of a salary cap.
Yes. Let's just give them $100 million.
Yeah, just pay them $600 million. Like, dude, when you look at these deals for soccer, it's just so great. That shit seems way more like slavery. Yo. I was like, Ronaldo was purchased by Paris Saint-Germain for $500 million. Did he say he wanted to go? It doesn't matter if he wanted to go. He has to.
Even more so, it's just I was just asking my best friend's a big soccer fan. Shouts to Pete. He was saying, like, the teams exchange all this money, but soccer players, like, the top end are making, like, $10 million a year for, like,
top
end talent.
That's not true. That's not true. They're the highest paid players in the world.
Really?
Yeah. That's true.
Without ads?
But again, you are right because the team has the rights to a player. So you can, so let's say the player is a $300 million contract, and I believe this is true. Someone correct us, assholes. Assholes, correct us if we're fucking up. But
I feel like Messi makes around that, right?
Oh, they're making stupid money, yeah, right? Yeah. But let's say Messi's contract is for $300 million, and then a team in Paris is like, yo, we want him. We'll pay you $400 million. And you'll give us. Now, he's going to still make that $300 million contract on this new team, only that you have to pay $100 million just as a fee to the original club he was with. Maybe Messi gets part of that. But the funny thing to me is this, is like, they don't have any say. Like, imagine...
That's weird.
Imagine right now, LeBron, the Cavs just traded LeBron to some team in Turkey. Right? And like, LeBron would be like, I'm not going to fucking Turkey. And they'd be like, yeah, sorry, they gave us $400 million. You got to go play basketball in Turkey now. You go to another country. That's insane.
There's a small part of me that kind of wish the NBA was like that. Because who would be able to afford LeBron? The Knicks.
That's
the
true.
Knicks would be like, you know what? We're just going to pay $500 million to LeBron James.
Every year.
And they'd be like, all right, fuck it. I mean, what are we going to do? All right, we'll take him.
But it is wild, right? The idea that, like, in Europe, you go to a different country. I wonder if you have any say. Hey, assholes that are listening right now, please
let us know
if you have any say in soccer in terms of what team you go. If you can refute the trade, if you can say you don't want to just plain live there.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. That's my understanding, too, is that you can say, like, I don't want to be here, but that's about it.
Mm. Right.
Which I think is kind of similar to football or whatever. Like, you can't.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Let's get out of football.
Let's talk Deontay Wilder.
Oh my God! Did you guys see the fights? Some great fights this weekend.
Good fight.
I did not see the fights.
It's a good fight, man.
So Deontay Wilder is the heavyweight champion of the world. He just beat Luis Ortiz, who's this Cuban guy who's been, you know, doping and cheating for years, and finally they ended up fighting, and Wilder, I mean, really demolished him in the 10th round, knocked him out. Yeah. And I have to be honest with you, and I've met Deontay Wilder. He's a really nice guy. He is not the most skilled heavyweight. And I'll tell you what is happening right now, what we're witnessing, is the heavyweight, like if Lennox Lewis was going up against Deontay Wilder in this current form, he's knocking him out within 5 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And because Lewis was a elite athlete and also a technician.
Yeah.
And I think what Deontay is an elite athlete. And I think what the heavyweight division is missing
is a technician.
Are elite athletes.
So
he's able to get away with being the most elite athlete in his division around a bunch of other guys who decide not to be football players, basketball players, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, he looks the part, dude. Like, it's...
Looks like
the one thing. The one thing that's... Yeah, like, the one thing that's been missing from boxing is, like...
An exciting heavyweight knockout.
An exciting heavyweight American fighter.
American fighter.
You know what I mean?
Very important you say that.
Extremely important. Yeah. And, like, you know, every time he comes to the Barclays Center, it's sold out. The whole city's out there. Like, for 2 years, I thought he was from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, I was fucking
shocked. No, he's country kid. He's from
he's from like Alabama
or something.
Like, I was like, I'm like, he's from Brooklyn. I don't know, but he looks the part. He knocks motherfuckers out. Like, they aren't boring fights when he fights.
He's swinging,
and he swings for the fences, dude. Like,
technique is trash.
There was a couple of rounds where, like, I thought that he was, you know, gonna either lose the decision or he was out on his feet or whatever, but like, he showed a lot of heart. And then that 10th round, he just came out fucking wailing.
Did you have him losing the fight going into the 10th?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Like, there was like 3 rounds in there where Ortiz just looked like he was just tagging him and he was just out on his feet.
So Ortiz is a Cuban fighter, right? And Cubans
arguably are the best technicians in the game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, boxing is one of the few sports that they have over there. It's probably like boxing, soccer, baseball. Yeah. But that's it. But it's like just part of the culture, right? Yeah. And they make these amazing fighters. Guillermo Rigondeaux, who just recently lost to the Vasily Lomachenko, but just an amazing technician. And but just the reality of the matter is, even an amazing technician at heavyweight, and this is what's so amazing about heavyweights, when you have these guys that are 130 pounds, the punches don't hurt enough. Like, yeah, they're knockouts.
Yeah, they're just points.
But they don't hurt. Exactly. Yeah, they don't hurt enough to really change the fight, right? Some guys have that kind of power, but in reality is like you can take those kind of punches. At heavyweight, everything changes.
Yep.
At over 200 pounds, when you get hit with a wild, goofy punch, it's lights out.
Yeah.
Dog.
It hurts.
It's lights the fuck out.
It's like every heavyweight fighter has a home run in them.
You know
what I mean? Like, you could survive, like, it's like a baseball game where, like, a team has a great pitching staff and, like, you're down 1-0 and, like, one hit.
Yep.
And literally all you need is one person just smack a home run and it's a game again. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Wilder did, essentially. Like, he was in my scorecard and a lot of other people's scorecards, like, he was down going into that 10th round.
Right.
And it was like somebody told him, like, hey, you're losing.
Step up.
You might as well just unload the clip. And he did.
Yeah.
And he knocked the shit out of him. It was a great fight. It was fun
to
watch.
I think he's got elite athleticism and elite cardio. Like, what people don't realize is, when you swing, like he swung in that 10th round, and go watch the clip, and I used to box, it is so fucking wildly exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It also costs way more energy to miss a punch than to hit.
Yeah.
That's what people don't realize. Like, when you connect, something's stopping your hand. When you don't, you got to bring that hand all the way fucking back. It takes way more energy. To swing like that consistently for the whole round, elite athleticism, elite cardio.
Yeah.
And that's what he's coasting on. Now, the question is,
Joshua. Yeah.
Will
he? I was just about to ask about it. I saw him fight Klitschko.
Yeah.
And that boy was nice.
Yeah.
That's the question is, when you run into someone who also has elite athleticism, elite cardio, and he also has skill.
Technical skill.
And technique.
Yeah.
What happens? And technique should take you over the hump. It should. But this guy Wilder, he's got something.
I'm not the biggest boxing head, but from what I've read, you know what I mean, the first thing people are saying is like, yo, he's not ready for Joshua. Like, not after that fight. You know what I mean? And I don't know, man. Like, I could never bet against somebody with that type of power to just kind of like change an entire fight with one hit. So
I
don't know, man. Like, I'm ready to see it. Like, I don't know if that's gonna be his next fight. But when they do throw down, man, it'll be an exciting time for boxing again.
Facts. You know what's interesting to me about boxing, and maybe it makes sense, I don't know, but like, when does a boxer hit his prime? It seems like 30, 33, 34 even.
It's a great question. It really, I think prime is decided by the level of fight, right? Like, a boxer's real prime is probably in his like mid to late 20s, but he doesn't see these big money fights until he's in his mid-30s.
Well, that's what's interesting. So how old was Canelo when Floyd fought him?
20.
Yeah, he was a kid.
21, 22,
okay, so he was super young. He was young. Dumb. Yeah. So, yeah, because I remember Sergio Chacon, friend of ours, comic, funny dude, boxer.
Yeah.
He was saying Floyd is very smart. He takes his fight now because Canelo's not ready.
I mean, he took the fight now.
Floyd could still probably beat Canelo, but he definitely took it.
Floyd beats Canelo whenever he wants.
Right.
So, but the guys who don't like Floyd have the same argument. Which is, he didn't fight. He fought him when he was past his prime. He fought him before his prime.
Well, for the record, this is before the fight, and we didn't sound like he was trying to knock Floyd. He's like, Floyd should win. Like, Floyd's going to win.
Right.
This is what's really brilliant about Floyd. And that is a smart move. You could still, sure, you could still beat him, but like, why not fight him when there's big money there?
Floyd's not ducking anybody. Floyd is taking the biggest money fight. And that's what he's always done, and that's what he should do, because this is prize fighting, and you fight for the biggest prize. And at the point in time, Canelo was the biggest money fight for Floyd, and I was at that fight live, and he utterly embarrassed.
Oh, it was the Canelo. Most impressed I've ever been with Floyd. Like, just. I don't know much boxing, but I was watching him, and I was like, whatever the fuck is happening, it's mastery.
Masterclass.
That's like watching, like, I've never been like a big boxing dude. The only, like, my biggest interest in boxing came in like the Tyson years, the Roy Jones years, where like, you know, or Zab Judah, those guys. Mm-hmm. Watching Floyd makes me appreciate the art of boxing so much more, because it's like, yo, you're just watching. It's like, yo, how is he doing this?
Do you believe, like, he doesn't ever watch tape? He just figures it out when he's in there?
No.
He's got to watch tape, no?
He always says that. No,
Floyd's whole thing is, I don't watch tape. I eat McDonald's every day. I'm at the strip club until 2 in the morning. This is probably the greatest athlete of our generation, not only in terms of what he does in the ring, but his preparation outside of it.
Mm.
And everything he does, he takes incredibly seriously. And if you want to know about it, ask the people who he did Dancing with the Stars with.
How was that?
Like, apparently, he took that dancing shit serious. While he was training for another fight, I think he was fighting Pacquiao or something was happening. He was training for a boxing match. I forget who. But, like, my man was in the gym. He's working out. He's practicing. He's practicing on his own time. He's not...
Well, like, he always is at his fighting weight. Like, most of these other boxers, from what I understand, they'll just go kind of... When they're off, they'll gain weight, whatever. Then when it's time to train, they train.
30 pounds or something stupid like that, yeah.
But, yeah, and he's always at his training weight. Now, what I forgot to finish the point about when is a boxer in his prime. To see Floyd do that to Canelo at 36, maybe that's just Floyd. But it seems like boxers' prime is later. Mm. And maybe it's just a product of they don't get the big money fights when they're young. But to hold on at 36 and be that good at 36...
Because boxing, to your point, probably because boxing is more of a cerebral sport than we give it credit
for. That's what I was thinking.
So here's the thing.
And in most pro sports.
Agreed. Okay.
In most pro
sports.
That's
what I was trying to get
You
at.
Get better mentally. Like, you watch Jordan in his later years. He's not trying to dunk over everybody.
Right.
It's like you're watching somebody dance. It's like you're watching them do dance steps and he's just going through the motions. And you know he's going to go to that spot.
LeBron
now.
You
can't stop him.
So yeah, the one
LeBron,
difference
Kobe,
is
all these guys.
Boxing, you age in terms of punishment.
Yeah.
Not in terms of years. Whereas, and that happens a little bit in basketball, you know, like guys who play
wear
a lot
and tear.
Of playoff seasons and everything like that, it took them apart. But in boxing specifically, once you start getting knocked out, your chin kind of goes, and it's hard for you to compete. The thing about Floyd is he has gotten hurt 5 times in his career total. Talking about 50 fights, we can name 5 different times.
Only time I've ever seen him hurt, I think, was with Shane Mosley.
I mean, there's a few. Zab Judah actually dropped him, but it didn't get called a knockdown, but his glove touched the canvas. DeMarcus Corley caught him with a hook. He was susceptible to those southpaw right hooks. Mosley caught him.
Yeah.
I think Castillo caught him in their first fight, and then maybe there was one more. I mean, we're talking about in his entire career. We're
talking about 49 pro fights.
In a fight, when you think about boxing, right? In order for you to have an advantage, you need to stay in the punching zone.
Mm.
So we're talking about centimeters of distance. Floyd is standing in front of you, centimeters of distance. He managed to go 50 fights and got hit hard 5 times.
Yeah.
Maidana was the other guy who hit him.
Maidana hit him.
But just if you think about how remarkable that is. I mean, this is the sport. Like, when you look at MMA, right? Like, all these guys have losses and that kind of shit like that because the real elite athletes haven't entered the sport yet.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, but they have losses. They got clipped. You know, like the Iceman, Chuck Liddell.
I mean,
they have
elite athletes in there, but it's... I
would say John Jones was the first...
John Jones was the probably the best athlete.
He was the first
Spider Silva.
Elite.
Yeah.
Silva, another elite athlete, yeah. Mm-hmm. But John Jones...
I would even throw McGregor in there, too.
No.
You wouldn't throw McGregor in there as an elite athlete? His cardio?
I don't think his cardio is good enough.
I think his cardio is really good.
No, that's the thing that hurts him.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Nate Diaz.
Outside of the Diaz. I mean,
Nate
yeah,
Diaz
outside
exposed
Diaz
him
fight.
With the cardio.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all his other fights, he just never went long enough for the cardio to become an issue. But I just don't think he's a great puncher and he's got great reflexes, but I don't know if he's an elite athlete. Like, right. When you look at John Jones, like, John Jones could have played football.
Yeah, like, if he applied himself to any other sport. Like you could see him succeeding in that.
Right, like, we're looking at elite, like, I mean, even Daniel Cormier, right? Like,
yeah, he was an Olympic wrestler.
Wrestler, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, so there's a couple guys that are elite. But you look at MMA, and it's a guy who was, like, the fifth wrestler. Like, he didn't even win gold. Like, he was fifth place, and then he becomes the best.
Who else was in MMA? Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker was at like 40.
Yeah, but he went at 40, and he was fucking whipping people's asses. Like,
my point.
It's like, yo, if he would have did this at, like, 20, he could have been one of the greatest of all time.
That's an elite.
Yeah.
That's a different... And then more athletes will eventually come to the sport. But that's why, like, you know, with the... With the women, as a matter of fact, I just saw Ronda Rousey in Columbus, Ohio when I was at the Arnold.
Oh, nice.
Just like, yeah, and she was just like at like a protein shake booth shaking hands. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh, God. Hey, listen. She's at WrestleMania this year, all right, man?
She needs it, dog. You know, she was selling, you know.
Hey, Ronda, time's
Zoom
up.
Zoom boost zero. Time's
up. Yo, can we talk about that for a little bit, man? Oh, man, obviously.
These hoes tripping?
I'm a huge WWE fan.
All right.
And I'm a probably not equally, but I'm just as big of a fan as mixed martial arts, whatever. And it's kind of weird because when you see Ronda now in the WWE,
yeah,
her current storyline is like, I guess the first time she was introduced to the WWE was like a couple of WrestleManias ago. She was in the crowd with The Rock and Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, and like The Rock goes, and I guess like Stephanie McMahon slaps The Rock, and he's not going to slap her back. And then Ronda Rousey just happens to be in the crowd.
Bang.
Pulls her out in the crowd. Bing, bang, boom. Big moment, whatever, right? So I guess the storyline now is, you know, this is revenge for all those years back there for, like, embarrassing him or whatever. But if you watched her first, like, her first promo, the promos when you're, like, you know, talking shit, whatever. Like, she still looks like a deer in the headlights about not, like, it's almost like...
She lost her confidence.
She lost her confidence.
She got Markel Fultz.
And yeah. Yo, and I'm not sure if it's on purpose or not. Because, like, I don't know if it's... Because there was a certain part where, like, she got slapped again and she turned it on. She did that straight Ronda Rousey, like, trot to the ring that she used to do in the UFC or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, maybe she still got that. But, like, it was weird to see because I'm not sure if... We're getting the same Ronda that we wanted when she was Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean?
Bro. She's getting a shell-shocked version.
It's actually sad, man. It is a little sad.
Yeah, it's like they say. I was reading this book called... it's this new Jordan Peterson book. I forget the name, but he's talking about like lobsters. And what happens is like when a lobster has a fight and actually loses it, like lobsters are very territorial. They're like just like us. But when they lose it, they're never the same again. Like they're pussy after that.
This is a lobster.
Is she a lobster, son? Someone clipped her claws, yo. When a lobster fights another lobster and loses, another lobster could come press it and it just backs up. It becomes this beta male cuck. And that's the confidence that she has right now.
But
dude.
Like she know, like she. Like she knows this is predetermined, right? Like she, and that's the thing. She knows.
We know
like,
she can't fight.
She grew up.
And I think that's what she feels like. I think she feels like everybody. And I don't know anything about fighting. I really do feel bad for her.
Yeah,
but like I think
I really
like,
don't.
No, well, I
don't feel
she
bad.
She was talking a lot of shit, but I do feel bad.
I didn't want to feel bad for her.
Yeah.
But now it's like, yo, this girl is broken, dog.
This girl is broken.
She said she could beat up Floyd.
That really is what offended you. That shit bothered me. Yeah, your top lip was quivering. Like,
these motherfucking MMA guys, put some respect on Floyd. Come on now, son.
I remember when she was like just breaking bitches' arms with arm bars.
All those girls work at Home Depot. It wasn't a real girl. Like, no girls that, they're like five.
People who really knew MMA, when the second fight especially, were like, Ronda's going to get her ass beat. The second fight she lost.
Because the girls that, there are only five girls in MMA that's their full-time job. Mm. Most of these girls are babysitters. They work in nail salons and shit like that.
No, they're not.
Sam, I'm telling you. Like, there's like five of them. That's the rest of them have other jobs. The construction workers. The one girl on the construction worker site.
I read somewhere. The one girl.
Who's the
heavyweight champ?
How are they doing this?
Stipe Miocic or whatever?
Yeah.
He works construction on the side, doesn't he? And he's the heavyweight champion of the UFC.
My man is Cleveland to his core.
Yeah.
That is some working class shit.
Facts.
But he don't need to.
That's what I'm saying. I hope he doesn't need to.
I really hope
he doesn't need to. But not like seeing Ronda like kind of be this, kind of like pretend to be a badass now.
So that's the thing.
It's weird. It's like,
I think this was a horrible move by WWE. And I'll say this. Just tell me what you think.
Yeah.
The point of WWE... The illusion is these guys are so big that they could really fight.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you see a massive dude, And some of them actually have some wrestling background. So you start going, yo, these guys could actually fuck somebody up. I mean, I know this is scripted and fun, but look how big Triple H is.
Exactly.
He could murder somebody if he wanted to. Andre the Giant's massive. He could destroy somebody. Look,
and they are like objectively great at it.
Yeah.
And
you know who got a lot of shit for saying that? Fucking Batista. Batista, he plays... Dude, in Guardians of the Galaxy, he plays Drax the Destroyer. And he was just like, you know, back when I was growing up, pro wrestling was this like big hulking dude. Like, you have to give me the illusion of, okay, this might be fake, but this guy could really fuck
That's
me up.
That's what I'm saying. So he could really fuck somebody up, right? Mm. And the reason why, So the reason why it doesn't work for Ronda is because the illusion is gone.
Yeah.
We know she can't fuck anybody up.
She can fuck up a lot of people.
Son, she can't fuck up girls. She's not going to fuck up Triple H. Let's keep it funky, bro.
She's not going to fight Triple H. She's going to fight girls.
She body slammed my man into the fucking... The first thing, she picked him up and broke him into a table.
Yes.
You know how quickly he would slap her little fucking hand out? Just break her in two if he wanted
it was,
to.
Brock
Lesnar. The beautiful thing about Brock Lesnar is my man was a wrestler, went into the MMA shit, and was fucking dudes up. So when he came back
That's
to
another
w,
elite athlete that was in the UFC.
He's an elite athlete. Yeah. Now, when he came back to WWE, we believed this motherfucker more.
Yeah.
He went and did the real shit. So now every time he talks trash to somebody.
So it's a weird backwards thing, because I almost feel like if Ronda Rousey would have started in the WWE,
we'd be good.
And then went to UFC and then came back, perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what Brock Lesnar did. Brock Lesnar started, he started in the NCAA, like legit number one wrestler in the country. Went to WWE, did that. Went to the NFL, almost made the fucking Vikings.
I saw that.
He was like the last cut on the Vikings. Never played football in his fucking life. Went to the UFC, dominates, loses. He has like a disease, like a blood something, like diverticulitis. I don't know, some shit.
Yeah.
But he was like, all right, I'll go back to WWE. Like, that's the show. It's like, I've seen you be the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. You can fuck up. I could count on my one hand how many matches Brock Lesnar has lost in the past like four or 5 years.
Fam, she's Millie Vanilli. I thought she was doing it, but and it turns out she's not singing, dog.
Here's the thing. They're going to have her wrestle other women. They're going to make her the female Brock Lesnar.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Can't wait to watch that.
It's still going to be a good deal.
Women's wrestling is a thing now, right?
Yes. Ric Flair's
daughter was like the champion for a
minute. Yeah, she's the champion right now, actually.
Two twins doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw them on some show.
I mean, the Bella twins and I forgot who's
the... She's not hot enough, bro.
All these people...
You need to be hot if you're going to be do something worse than the men. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to make up for your lack of skill with attractiveness. Like, there's a reason why female volleyball.
A lot of people have found Ronda Rousey attractive. No. I'm not one of them. No. But
there's a reason why female volleyball players got their fucking ass cheeks showing the whole time.
Shorts.
Because why would I watch shittier volleyball? Oh, you're going to show me titties and ass? There's going to be some Venezuelan chicks with fucking cakes out there?
Yeah, I'm definitely not touching that.
I'll watch that. No. But I'm not going to watch shittier volleyball if you don't give me another reason. This is true with every female sport. It's the reason why nobody watches WNBA is they're not cute. If they were, look at tennis. Female tennis stars are pretty attractive.
They are. But I mean, and
they put them in little skirts. You see, Serena's a mom. She's going to have her butt cheeks hanging out of the fucking thing? No. Better wear some tights if she wants
to. She did before, and it was great. She's coming in at a good time where, like, women's wrestling isn't like the bathroom break like it used to be.
Right. Now,
like,
it's popping.
Now it's like they got actual athletes, like female wrestlers. Like, they've actually put together, like, good, compelling matches that are comparable to the men. Like, there's still, like, maybe one to maybe every, like, three or four great men's match. You might see one or two great women's matches. But, like, before, it used to be none. It used to be, like, a pillow fight or a lingerie fucking mud bowl match or, you know, bra and panties match and shit, whatever. Yeah. It used to be degrading, whatever. I loved it. I was a teenager. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, now she's coming in at a time where there's actual athletes that are competing like the men. And I think she'll do well. I think it's a good signing for the WWE. I think it gives their women's division some legitimacy to people who, you know, if I got to convince somebody on women's wrestling, it's like, oh, you know, Ronda Rousey, she's there. So it gives them like a certain type of legitimacy that I didn't have before. So from that point of view, it's a good look for the WWE. I'm not sure if it's a good look for her.
Yeah, I just hope she's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she got to bring it with the personality, man. She really got it.
Yeah, she does. And that's what drew us in at first. Like, when she was kicking, when she was making people tap out in, like, the first round or whatever, she was talking wild shit.
And women and needed that.
Women needed that.
Women want to see a girl fucking shit up and being like, yo, women can do anything, et cetera. It was important. Yeah. That was her. She was the women's Black Panther.
And they still...
It was.
And they can't take that away from her. Like,
she did a great job at it.
She had a great run at that.
She just wasn't the real
deal. Who's that motherfucker? Who's the bad guy from the Avengers, the new one?
Thanos.
Thanos showed up.
Yeah. Thanos did show up, son. Yo,
came with them
talk.
Infinity Stones.
Yo, facts.
Punched the fuck out of Tony Stark. You saw that clip. Not even with the gem hand. He came with the regular hand, like, hold this. I was like, damn, Tony, it's a wrap. I'm not ready for Infinity War, dog.
That's gonna be two movies, bro. You know. Spread it out.
I'm not ready. They're all gonna die, dog. They're all gonna die.
Black Panther
all
ain't
your
dying.
Favorites.
I'll tell you that right now.
Black Panther's not dying.
Black people, be alright. Y'all be alright. This is the one movie y'all gonna survive.
Like, Black Panther's not dying.
It would be funny if they killed Black Panther first. So that should be hilarious. Oh, fuck. Joke's on you.
Y'all thought, motherfucker.
Oh,
but,
shit.
But no, I think Black Panther lives. Spider-Man lives.
Captain America gonna get got. I'm not
Captain America's
with that.
Done.
That motherfucker need to die.
I haven't seen Civil War. The first Captain America I hated. The second one I like, but I just
the
don't like
the second and
seeing...
third one was fire. Like when the Soldier and Civil
second
War
and third
were
one were much better.
I heard Civil
War
is dope. I just I haven't watched.
So it was pretty good. Second tier Marvel
I
movie.
Think
I would put.
Iron Man's out of here.
Tony had a good run. Baby.
He had a great run, though. He's the OG.
He was the man.
Somebody showed me some YouTube clip of them doing this like picture of all the Marvel stars, like all the superheroes. Tony Stark is in front and fucking center.
Yeah, and he should be.
Yeah, yeah.
But like. The power that's behind him, the star power, fucking Paul Rudd is just sitting there somewhere off on the side.
He launched a $1 billion film franchise.
He deserves it. It just really put into perspective, like, they showed all the stars. I forget.
He's LeBron,
name
son.
After name after name. But this motherfucker, and it, again, deserves it, but you're looking at this guy front and center, you're like, yo, you did it, fam.
Dog. And remember, he was down and fucking out before Iron Man, dog. He had a rough one.
And to John Favreau's credit, apparently much bigger names wanted to do it. I don't know if this is true. I heard this from a friend, but he was like, nah, it's Robert Downey Jr. is the guy.
Yeah. And like if you watch like Iron Man cartoons, like they look similar.
Really?
You know, like it's one of those things like you can't picture anybody else playing.
He's just charismatic as a motherfucker, man. Like
absolutely,
he's great, and he's underpaid, man. I mean, he's getting $50 million a movie, but when you think about it, like he is the main character.
Yeah.
He is the superstar athlete.
He's the central focus of every movie.
Exactly.
Like it all comes back to.
And it's gonna make $1 billion. He only gonna get 50. That's a deal, bro.
Yeah.
When you think about some of these movies that make $200 million. Right, and they're paying Denzel 20. That's 10% of the budget, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you make $1 billion, what's 10% of that?
That's probably why they're killing them off.
I'm making too much.
That's probably why they show Thanos beating his ass in the commercial. They're like,
this is for
like,
that last contract
ready,
negotiation. Bam!
About to break his fucking face. It's a wrap. But yeah.
Oh hey, are we still doing this March Madness thing?
We should.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Should,
what is
man.
This? You guys were texting. I was doing something.
I mean, I'm still trying to put it together,
sad.
But I want to. I'm trying
on?
To put it
that
together, man.
Talk?
Let's let's play hooky, guys. Let's get the assholes together.
Okay.
On the first day of the NCAA tournament, one of the greatest sports days of the year. Starts in the middle
of
the day.
I know nothing about college basketball this year.
I really,
you don't need to. That's the beauty of it.
I'm going to try to watch these conference tourneys in SportsCenter. I'm going to binge watch SportsCenter for 2 weeks.
Fam,
to see what's going
all
on.
I know is you can't miss a last second shot from now until April.
Yeah.
Every single one goes in.
Like the game sliders are all the way up.
That's
like,
all it is. Son, it's like.
SportsCenter for the next 3 months is going to be like 3, 2.
Just throwing it, bro.
This is what makes college basketball exciting this time of year. And it's because they're not as good as pros. None of these guys can hold the lead.
Yeah.
No lead is safe.
Yeah.
No lead is safe.
Yeah.
Number 15 is up on the number 15 seed is down to the number 2 seed by 38. It's not over.
Yeah. I mean, any team that could full court press you is still in the fucking game.
Every 12 seed beats every 5 seed. It's the weirdest fucking thing.
Can't even bring the ball up the court.
The
and y'all want to get paid?
Out.
Suck a dick. Get the ball up half court, bum. Y'all want $1 million.
Nah, but this is my idea, man. I think we should take over a bar.
What day?
The first day of the NCAA tournament.
That's which is Thursday,
that's
right?
That's a Thursday.
It's going to be Thursday, March 12th, probably March 19th. One
yeah,
of those two.
From 12 to like fucking. Oh, you motherfucker.
Hey, Alex, can you look this up exactly when March 12th?
Let's find the exact date.
Yeah,
but when we figure this out, we're going to take over a bar. We're going to fucking see how many people we can get to fucking play hooky or just come. Because you're not doing work anyway. Like, the first day of the tournament, like, you're not really paying attention.
Pull up.
You're on your laptop.
Should we fill out brackets? We don't know shit. It's all luck to me.
Of course you fill out a bracket.
It's our Tuesday.
No, Tuesday's the
that's
play-in
the playing game.
Game.
That don't count. The actual tournament.
So it's going to be that Thursday.
Yeah.
So Tuesday to what?
I think
Tuesday
it's
Thursday the 15th.
Thursday the 15th. Sure.
Is that right?
The first day. It's probably the first day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could do the 15th. So yeah, we'll pick a bar. We'll let you guys know, and if you guys want to just pull up, we'll watch the game together.
Yeah,
man. You know, maybe we could shout to somebody,
get some beers,
some little beer deals.
I had Matt Shirley
like
Temples on deck.
Got him,
boy.
Yeah, that should go.
All right. We'll give you more details in the coming weeks about that.
More live shit.
Yeah, because we want to do this live shit. That's really what it comes down to. I want to have a moment celebrating flagrancy this week. You know, obviously flagrant too. We got to celebrate those people who are out there keeping it extra flagrant. Lane Kiffin, who is the head football coach for FAU, Florida Atlantic University, mm-hmm. he said that he looks at his assistants' wives to see how good at recruiting they are. This motherfucker is my favorite coach. I think we got to give him a little bit of a slow clap. Woo! Y'all still listening or y'all tuned out during that?
Lane Kiffin been a fucking savage.
And I'm going to be honest with you, this makes perfect sense. Because think about it, like, how are you going to get a five-star recruit to join this football team if you can't even get
a five-star recruit to join the family?
Five-star recruit to join the family, bro. If you don't have five-star females, it's a wrap. If you can't get pussy, you're not going to get a talented young athlete to come to your school when there are better schools out there. You're not the number one school. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right? You're not the number one program. There are other schools that they want to go to. So he needs men who are overachieving in the pussy department on his team to prove to him, hey, they know how to get shit done. This shouldn't be done. And I respect it, man.
You know what? You know how you were just talking about, like, if you ask somebody a question in the scouting report?
Yeah.
And, like, there's no right answer, but they just, like, give you a way of getting to that?
Yeah.
That's how you know Lane Kiffin's a genius, though.
Lane got the job. Lane got the job.
That's how you know he got the fucking job, bro. It's like, what's the main goal?
Son.
To see if your coaches are competent in recruiting.
My man is the Donald Trump, LeVar Ball, whatever, in college football. Like, he just be out here.
Look, every year, Lane Kiffin is in some shit.
I don't know.
And we're all just like, oh, that's just Lane Kiffin.
All I'm saying is, like, you could tell a lot about a dude based on his girl, man. Right. It says a lot about you. It says a lot about your confidence, mm-hmm. et cetera. You know?
Of course.
And
I quietly judge all my friends' girlfriends.
Facts. I think I had a joke about this back in the day, but I forget. But, like if your girlfriend's uglier than you, it's fucking sad, bro.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, it's really a bad thing. Like, when you see, I forget exactly what the joke, it was something about, like, when I see it on the street, I hope you're related. Like, I hope you're not in a relationship. That's your cousin, right? There's no reason you'd be walking down the street with that ugly ass girl, right? But if a girl's with a guy that's uglier, we assume the best about the guy. We assume he's wealthy, he's successful, he's got something going on. Mm-hmm. If a guy is with a girl that's uglier, we assume he has a small dick or he has some kind of, like, lack of confidence that puts him in a situation. But if a guy has a beautiful woman, I'm going to justify it. I'm going to find a way to justify it. That's who he's looking for.
Yeah.
He's looking for guys who are overachieving, man.
I mean, for me, when I see a dude with a girl that is, like, completely out of his league, it kind of makes me think that the person is, like, good at whatever profession he's ever chosen in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like,
I just assume they're soccer players.
And what
if
other...
I don't know who you are. If I see guys with, like, super hot chicks and I don't recognize them, I assume they're soccer players.
Facts. And they're just, like, regular looking dudes. I mean, like, you know, most people that I see out of their league are, like, NBA guys. It's like, you see somebody, like, 6'8", walking around with, like, some
these gorgeous looking guys. Are always just like, really?
They're okay.
Not the ones I've seen. Like, there's certain ones, like, maybe they're not married, but, like, that's their work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And of course, like, you're an NBA player, so it's like the out-of-town work is usually better than what's at home, because what's at home is, you know, it's for the family.
She's got to be ugly enough to let you cheat.
Exactly. She's got to be ugly enough to know, like, it ain't getting better than this.
Yo, ugly what enough to let you cheat. Over? That's facts, bro.
That is look true. Again?
I've been dating two pretty girls. That's the problem. Girls expect me to be faithful with their pretty asses.
Oh, man.
My homie said a funny thing. He said, I'm going to make a theory. He's like, no, you know what? Let's call it a postulate. He goes, if ever you see a girl walking down the street with her man and you think, how did he get her? The answer is that bitch is crazy, and you want no part of that.
This is facts.
And, bro, that shit this stuck with me forever. It's the truest thing on earth.
This is facts.
Man, they're all like, crazy.
It's like,
the ugly ones is crazy. The hot ones are crazy. You might as well get a hot one. It helps you deal with the
crazy.
I was
crazy actually mad offended when Alex a few weeks ago was like, yo, Kaz, yo, the girl, yo, you got a hell of a roster, son. Like,
offended?
I was offended because I'm like, dog, am I ugly, bro? Like,
son, that's the best compliment in the world. The last thing you want is a guy to look at you and be like, yo, you deserve your girl.
Yeah, that's legitimately
that is insulting, son. Yo, whenever somebody says, like, y'all are perfect together, I'd be like, perfect? Oh, I'm supposed to be getting over on this bitch. What you talking about perfect? I won the negotiation. Ain't no perfect. Fuck perfect. Fuck soulmates.
I gotta look lucky
sound
every time.
You surprised when you see my girl?
Yeah.
That's a problem, dog.
You should be shocked.
Like, every time, like, you see a girl I'm with, you gotta be like, yeah, I know, I'm surprised too.
Yeah. No, he's packing. I want you to think about my dick length. I want you, first thing you think about is my dick length when you see girl.
I'm either rich or I got a big
that's
ass
it.
Dick.
Something going on. Yo, Andrew got a new movie coming out. That's what I want you justifying it by my success. Ain't none of this perfect. Fuck out of here, bro.
It's wrong, but yes, we will judge you from your woman. Like, I don't care what car you drive. I don't care how much money
you tell your
you
homie
make.
If you don't think her girl is cute, I won't. I'll hit her with the, ah, oh, she cute. If you think she ugly, I'll have to hit her with the, ah, oh, she cute.
I'm not going to say
yo, she cute. Voice gets mad hot. Yo, she cute.
No, but I'll stop before it gets there. Nah,
like, I won't let your wife. Nah. Like, it depends how he comes at me with it. Like, if he comes at me with it, like, yo, look at this girl
right?
I'm hooking up with. I'd be like, she all right. I don't know. She, like, hold on. I think I'll stop before it gets there, bro.
Nah, like,
but I'll also look at my boy and be like, you know, like, he might be trash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it depends where I see him.
That's true. Like, some of my friends are trash.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll rate my boy and be like, nah, this is good for you. That's what you need. Or you could
maybe this
better.
Will set you on a right path in life, because I know the shitty person you were going up to this.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Like, if she's bad, like, it doesn't even have to be, like, we don't what's understood doesn't even have to be explained.
It's visceral.
Like, we'll just both look at each other like, yeah. Well, like, that's a girl? Like,
this
yeah.
How you
like,
know, this is how you know that she's bad. Your boy won't share the nudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how you know you got a bad one. If you're like, yo, send the nudes. And your boy's like, yo, chill. So I actually kind of like this one a little bit.
Yeah,
and you're like, yo, you better send them fucking nudes. You better put some little hearts over the nipples or some shit. Make that Instagram ready.
Nah, I mean, you can't share the nudes of wifey, though. That's not.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's
how much he cares
that's
about her.
That's what I'm saying. He likes her so much, he could see it potentially be wifey.
But if you, if we're just fun.
Yeah.
That shit is hitting the group chat.
Oh, absolutely.
Just keep your face out of it. I keep the face out of it.
Really?
Yeah, I keep the face out of it.
Yeah,
you gotta keep the face out of it.
It depends. Like, look, I'm keeping 100. It depends. If I know that there's no future with this girl, it's just fun, whatever like that. Hey, man, check this out. I won't put it in a group chat, but you can look at it on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to put her shit out there in the world. That's corny.
First off, you don't ever send...
Come on, son.
Someone else's nudes.
Come on, son.
Like, if you here with me, and
come
I just
on,
put up...
Ahem! Ahem! Ahem!
Look at him crying over there, Alex.
Fuck over here.
This motherfucker, yo.
Don't you be editing nothing out this podcast, son. Don't you
I can't believe my man edited that shit. I didn't get to comment
still,
on it.
Yo, you can right now. Right. We gave him shit.
You know what?
Here's
the difference. Here's the difference. Yeah, we just brought his shit into it. And he wasn't a part of this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I got it afterwards. I was tight at first, but then I was like, you know what? We just brought it up. He's just sitting in the corner.
Yeah, he can't do shit.
So
he was sitting in the corner asleep.
Motherfucker passed out.
Yeah, I don't know how you caught that shit with all the sleep you were getting. I don't know how you heard it.
Fuck. Anyway, drop egg, dead your ugly girl. And it's different if like y'all got kids together. That's different because there's gonna be some wear.
Then she should be ugly.
You gotta send me some old photos.
Once she has, once she gives birth to your kids, she should be ugly.
You gotta send me old photos though. I gotta see like her in her prime.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta know why you invested in the kid in the first place.
Yeah. Nah, but I have a friend who's like, whose baby mom's got like way better after kids. Like way better looking.
They stayed together?
Yeah. They're still together. And like
the baby mama got better looking after kids.
Cheating ass bitch. This cheating ass bitch. Bitch, I mean, why you cheating, bitch?
She works hard. She works out and shit. Like
cheating ass bitch.
She dropped that baby.
This
and, like,
bitch
8 weeks
a
later,
cheater, dog. Oh, you cheating ass
that
heifer.
Is foul. That is foul. Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't fuck
trifling
that
ass
shit.
Bitch.
I don't like
dog.
That shit. Son.
Why?
Like nah, it's like
why
nah,
can't
nah.
she want to? Why
get
can't
better,
she want to get her glory
fine.
Days?
First
back.
Of all, don't get better too soon. Like I don't like these moms that are like 2 hours after the pregnancy, they're like, got my body back. Yeah. It's like, why don't you breastfeed, bitch? Yeah. Why don't you take care of that baby? Why are you at the gym all fucking day? Kylie Jenner already posting pictures of her body back since she had the kid.
This bitch the worst.
I don't think she had the baby.
Say what?
I don't even think she had
she
the baby.
She might
though.
Have not had the baby. That's an interesting baby, one because we never really saw
her
pregnant.
Was, yeah. All of a sudden you want privacy, bitch? Get the fuck out of my face. When you want privacy?
She was low key for a minute.
And when would your mom ever let you have privacy?
First of all, I'm just seeing the group chat. My bad.
Oh, yeah, you see it?
That's what I was like, what are you laughing at? I looked at this and I was like,
oh, yeah. She was lit.
Okay. Never mind, guys.
Litty.
I was like, damn, did I miss a joke? I was a pretty hard one.
You might have done miss some shit.
Who do you? Alex, do you,
hey,
motherfucker?
Man. Hey, listen, hey, man. Fellas, I want you to remember, assholes out here keeping it tight, just remember, there's no such thing as a girl is too good for you.
Facts.
All right? I never felt that way in my goddamn life. I never felt, hey, if there's one dude
I
out there.
I felt that way a lot.
Listen.
Dog, I'm telling you, when we feel wilding out, I have never been so confident that I was, every one of these girls is out of my league. I just, no, I didn't even try.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Pretend that the notion existed that I
listen,
had a shot.
First off,
them.
You're get funny. You guys are funny. You guys are stand-up comedians.
Funny.
No woman is ever out of your league.
Colored eyes.
Word. You mad pretty and shit?
Come on.
I am.
Mad pretty, dog.
You can't even call the man pretty. You got to talk about specific things on his body. So you
got
to be act like you're at the combine. You can't be like, this guy is a marvel. He is majestic. Look at him. You got to be like, great biceps. I like the way you curled that up.
Nah, man. Listen, some dudes are just gorgeous. Michael B.
Things,
Jordan.
Now, Mike, yeah, but look, there's one thing that you're a little bit short. That's one thing that
that's
fucks
a problem,
you up.
Dog.
That's
all
one
dudes
thing that fucks
just get bitches. I did not know this.
Hey,
son.
Listen.
Hey, it is what it is, dog.
It's crazy.
I'm going to need your bitch. I'm going to need your bitch.
Bring it
and
this
I'm
going to
need your bitch. Need all y'all's bitches. I'm the lobster over here. Yeah. Nah, but for real, height is a thing, is a game changer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you can't overcome it.
Yeah.
Success, all that shit can overcome it.
Sure, look at Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart out here balling, he could get whatever.
This girl's like 6'1".
Facts. Right? And you prettier than Kevin.
Facts.
You way prettier than Kevin.
I am prettier than Kevin.
Pretty ass motherfucker. little pretty ass motherfucker over there. Lucky you on that side of the table.
This just got so gay, man.
Yo, you started it, son.
I did start it.
No, you can't start the white boy.
I want to give him a compliment, goddammit. He was like, bro, oh,
I just realized like what white people's M-word is. It's gay jokes, bro. That's really what it is. We're the only ones that could do it. Like, and so as
black
really,
people get real uncomfortable.
Just, man, real uncomfortable. Yo, what are you saying, dog?
Relax, yeah. Dog.
But white people, we can say that shit, bro.
You know what's a funny Kevin Hart story, though? I saw him at New York Comedy Club. He's doing a set. Right. Just running jokes. This is like 6 months ago. He's still the most famous motherfucker on earth.
Yeah.
His wife is standing next to me. She's gorgeous. Sitting next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to her friend. Kev gets off stage. The most famous person in the world. And he walks over to me and his wife. Obviously, he's talking to his wife. Yeah. He's like, what'd you guys think of the... You're on your phone. Great. You're on your phone. And to see that happen to the most famous dude in the world was so, like, I felt so...
It's like, it's not just me.
Yeah, like, it's such a relief. It's not just me. No matter who the fuck you are, your girl don't give a fuck at a certain point. Just whatever, dog. Be famous.
Maybe
I'm talking
if she would have given
like,
a fuck, he wouldn't be getting his dick sucked by Cubanas on an airplane.
Get off your phone, shorty.
Allegedly.
True that. Men don't cheat. Son.
Black men don't cheat.
Hey, all men don't cheat.
Right. All men. Right. Whatever they said. All men.
We all in this together, bro. We in this together.
Nah, but shoot your shot, man. Always shoot out of your range. Pull up from Steph Curry range at all times.
Pull up from Steph Curry. There's no reason not to.
Dog. I've been getting turned down my whole life.
Son.
Just got a tippy toe.
It's like, yo.
Just got a tippy toe.
Son, I'm about to talk about it. That's a different story.
You keep bringing up them side jokes. We're going to make it a topic.
I think we left that one in there. Yeah, when Alex was on the fucking step trying to act taller than he was. Motherfucker had one foot on the step, bro.
All I'm saying is shoot your shit. And ladies, shoot your shot too, man. Ain't going to work, but might as well shoot your shot.
Do you, bro?
Ladies, shoot it. I know we got some lady assholes out here. Go for gold.
I ain't gonna front, man.
Come on.
Like, do you guys ever peruse through the Flagger 2 hashtag on Twitter?
Nah, not Twitter, because I'm off Twitter, but talk to me.
I mean, like, the lady assholes are like, they're like out there now. Like, I would stop short of using the groupie word. It's not groupies. It's definitely not groupies.
Right.
But we definitely have...
They're supporting.
Supporting.
Must not see how pretty I am.
They definitely support us on
a
physical level.
You know we're going to know we have...
Bro, it's because
of
my lips.
Know it's groupies? If that's all you said.
If y'all had lips like me, where's my close-up?
That's it.
Y'all had lips like me.
All right.
That's when you're going to know their groupie status. When girls are like, Andrew, do got nice lips. Or... Kosh ain't that short. That's when he knows groupie status.
Don't put my lips into your height category.
Oh, it's in
happening.
There.
Fam. It's happening,
the only
dog.
Difference is acceptance of the flaw.
First of all, ain't no flaw. This is how lips supposed to look. Okay?
That's not, she don't even look like lips. That look like lip.
Your lips just start because of your beard.
My lips look delicious.
Nah, your beard gives you fake lips. It's illusion. It's all illusion. If you take away the beard, you don't even have lips. That's just skin.
I got bangers, dog. Nah. My shit's bangers.
It's just because your teeth's so big. You need some shit to cover your teeth.
Exactly.
If not, you have that shit just out there like hippopotamus.
How big my lips are that they cover these teeth.
No, but it's cheating. It's cheating.
Oh, my gosh.
If it means anything,
I think you're both beautiful. If it means anything, it's any solace.
All I'm trying to say is shoot your shot, ladies. Be great. Go out there, do what you need to do, fellas.
Mm.
Go out there, do what you need to do. Fuck rejection. Let's get rejected.
Mm.
I wanted to get rejected
today. The curve
today.
Builds character, like I always say.
It really does build character. I pussied out, but there's
this you said
fine
that
illest
shit
too.
To me one time. Before I met my girl,
yeah.
I was tripping over another girl who's whack. This one, didn't get to finish this when before I brought this up. Mm-hmm.
What'd I say, sexually assault her?
No.
No, I'm glad you didn't say
you wouldn't say that on the podcast. That would be a text message. Anyway, but you said to me, I'm going to tell you something. The moment you are... immune to rejection, you are unstoppable.
Yeah.
You are invincible. You're a superhero.
It's true, man.
The only thing stopping us is the fucking depression we get from being rejected. And once you're immune to that in anything, you are unstoppable.
Fucking so true.
And that's a bar that I have not forgotten.
It's true, man.
That's true facts.
Yeah, we got to do it, man. We got to go out there and get rejected. That's the only thing men have to deal with.
Like,
is rejection.
Men have to deal with rejection way more than women. You know
facts.
Way more than women.
Like, I mean, women reject themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they'll look at themselves in the mirror and think they're ugly. They think they're not all this. We don't really notice those things as much.
I need surgery in this.
Exactly.
I got to wear makeup for that and yada, yada, yada. Like, they're already, like, in their own heads about... Yeah. Not
like
feeling
women out there doing lip injections. I ain't mean that. Let me tell you something. Where's my close-up?
Eyelashes.
Hey, okay. Look at you.
You see these eyelashes, bro? This is a beautiful
being. You with it,
this
bro.
This is a beautiful.
Okay.
Every girl I've ever dated has been like immensely jealous of my eyelashes. That's one thing.
So funny.
I'm like, why are your eyelashes so long? It's so pretty.
What about eyebrows? You know, eyebrows frame the face. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers are asking me how my face so goddamn pretty. Maybe because of frame. Beautiful. I'm just looking right down the barrel. We just going right down the barrel for this. What's up? Let me move the mic so you can see my lips. What's up? All right then. Okay.
Let them know. I don't know what time it is here. God damn it.
That's all I'm saying.
This is a really gay episode. I'm not gonna lie. I think it's because the Oscars, bro.
Alex got a body, son.
I don't think a lot of people. First of all, I think somebody tweeted. I thought Alex was white. Alex is not white. Alex is a black man that's in shape and single now, and he works out in the gym. Yeah. all the time on his Instagram story.
He's trying to crack cheeks. Follow Alex Media, A-L-E-X-X Media.
Yeah.
You can send him nudes. You can send him DMs.
Send Alex all the nudes. Matter of fact, that should be this week's challenge.
Yeah. It's the Send Alex Nudes Challenge.
Send Alex Nudes.
Exactly.
And then freshly single.
But only if you're dudes. Send him all dicks, fam. Mad dicks in his inbox. Just
only balls
dick,
and balls.
Dick.
That's getting edited out. Bro, I'm editing that
Do
shit.
Do not edit that shit out. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, edit that shit out. We want to see the dicks that go in there, son. Yo, they better look like safaris.
Anybody?
We'll be sending no little dicks in there. We need dicks.
The safari
dick.
Challenge.
We need dicks.
Oh, my God.
Dicks that look like they go with my lips.
Hey.
Oh, no, son. There are guys who listen to this in the
They're
Uber.
They're like, finally.
Yeah, Uber drivers, son. No, we got, oh, what's up going on here? We got.
I unplugged it. It was good.
Oh, we got, there are guys that drive around and they Uber with this in the car and they say, like, the best part is just watching the people in the back react to us, son. And it's just hilarious, bro. Shouts to the guys.
Shouts to the Uber drivers,
love
dog.
This, yo. Real talk. Give us some ratings. Here, get some coffee in your fucking car.
We out here, bro. No sponsors.
I don't think we talked about any NBA today.
Yo, okay, we could salute one other bit of flagrancy.
James Harden?
Oh, okay, and two.
Two, okay.
Jimmy Buckets.
Jimmy Buckets, man. That's the dude.
Grown ass man.
That's how Drake should act. Jimmy like Buckets. Jimmy Butler. That's how I like my rappers to act. You don't want no smoke.
Bro.
Fucking Jimmy singing Butler. A melodic voice. My man tweeted that shit for real.
First Yo, off, he hasn't tweeted. The beauty of it Yo. Is that he hasn't used his Twitter account in 2 years. He opened up his Twitter account just for the smoke with Jay Crowder. He's already injured.
Like, let's talk shit about Rubio. The Rubio tweet
like,
is really
yeah,
funny.
Stay over there.
No, he goes, have you tweeted? Okay, just to set this up. So basically what happened is the Timberwolves are playing the Jazz. Rubio locked Jeff, what's his name?
Teague,
yeah. Loft Jeff Teague's ass the fuck up. Teague missed a shot. Rubio's on a kind of like, you know, pushing the ball up, and then Teague just pushes his ass out of bounds. Mm. He was just upset that he got locked up.
Got
Let's
locked
keep
up,
it very
yeah.
real.
Uh-huh.
So then Jimmy Butler goes on. He goes, haven't used Twitter in years. But yeah, Jeff, that's what I like to see. Rubio getting up quick for no reason. Now, that's my favorite part of the tweet. Rubio getting up quick for no reason. Have you ever had that shit where somebody pushes you or fouls you hard in the game?
How do you get
up, man? It's the quick get up, right? Yeah. It's like ninja
that's when
quick
everybody
get-up.
Starts trying yeah, to get yeah. in the way.
But that's
yada,
your
yada,
way
yada.
Of telling everybody else, hey, stop me before I actually really got a fight. I just want all y'all to know I'm ready to fake fight. So if right. y'all could just get in the way, that'd be great. Because if you really want to fight, my man, you'd get up slow,
slowly.
Sneak yeah. around behind him, and just duff him yeah. in the back of the head. But you want to cause a scene. So Jimmy called out perfectly. Then he said, then Jay Crowder apparently was talking to Thibodeau, right, yeah. which is Butler's coach, and he goes, Jay, get away from my coach. You don't want no smoke neither. Okay?
That part that a lot of people didn't really catch when yeah. they were reporting this, they were teammates at Marquette.
Ooh.
In college, yeah. Ooh. They were teammates at Marquette. So Jay Crowder's response was, I don't Twitter beef. I'll leave that to you, but you got my phone number and know my home address. If the rest can be history.
Or the rest can
oh,
be
the
history.
Rest can be history. Devil emoji.
Their last sentence sounds gay as fuck.
Yeah.
You got my phone number, know my home address. The rest can be history. Devil horn.
Listen, those yeah. last two emojis were crucial. Because if they were like heard eyes or something, they could have been taken
been
a completely different way. Like purple pickle, whatever the fuck is, eggplant emoji.
Purple pickle? Son. Yo,
that's
son.
A Quavo thing. Son. Quavo called it a purple pickle.
What?
I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop calling it an eggplant now because purple pickle sounded more funnier.
Oh, son, I thought you really didn't know what an eggplant was, son. I was like, what? How Staten Island are you? They ain't got vegetables
nah,
out there?
No, this gentrified cash. Gentrified cash be nowhere.
You know what I'm about.
You go to Whole Foods, let me get a pound of purple pickles.
A pound of purple pickles. All right, so real quick, with Jimmy Butler. First of all, Jimmy Butler defending his his coach is crazy. I think Jimmy Butler got Stockholm syndrome because his coach is the reason why he's injured in the first place.
That's what
place.
I was thinking.
Right? Like, if anything, you should want Jay Crowder, your ex-teammate in college, to knock Thibodeau out for taking away your knees. But he's like a battered wife. He's like a battered housewife. You know, like, you still love the husband is beating you up or some shit like that.
Still got to defend him and shit.
So he's defending Tibbs, even though Tibb is the sole responsibility why your knee gave out. You injured your knee on a non-contact play. That is the coach's fault. Am I wrong?
You sat down the All-Star game because you were tired and you needed that second half of the season to be rested.
Come on, son.
Because y'all were getting pushed so hard the first half of the season.
Come on, son.
Playing 43 minutes a game and
come
shit.
On, he's Jay, so dope, though.
Jay really trying to help you out. I mean, he's dope. Don't get me wrong. I love the attitude. But Jay was trying to help you out. Jay was trying to, you know,
It's like, Jimmy Butler's my man. It's like, y'all fucking, y'all got him running on fumes and shit. And
bro.
Tearing the ligaments or whatever.
I don't know if there's 64, so maybe we can't do it. But like a March Madness-style bracket of who the flagrant fans think would win in fights.
Yo, just
NBA fights.
Just NBA or all sports?
We could, all sports. We I think football got a, and boxing and all that.
Yeah.
So we should
probably
NBA.
Stick to one sport. Yeah, probably right, stick to
NBA
basketball.
NBA fights. But 64 a lot, no?
That's why 64 don't we do a might be less. Maybe do 16 or 32.
Love it. Sweet 16.
Keep that same energy bracket.
Yo! Keep that same energy.
Like whoever wins is most likely to have
you,
the same energy.
I'll tell you who might get a high seed and lose early is Kevin Durant.
Facts.
My man Stay talking about too many fake thugs in the NBA. All you ever do is chirp and get in faces. I never seen you shove nobody.
And then what does the winner account. What does the winner get?
Hmm?
What does the winner get?
You get to send more dick pics to Alex.
You know what? We'll send you a fucking.
He will
like
forward
flagrant.
You all his dick pics.
I'll pay for your flagrant t-shirt, flagrant 2 t-shirt.
Oh, some merch.
Right, good. We got some merch.
Send you some right. merch.
We gonna set that up. We gonna set this live show John up.
Yeah.
Or no, this live watch the March Madness shit. Yeah. Just pull up.
Just play hooky, man. You ain't gonna be doing no work that Thursday anyway. Come to our spot. Well, sure. I'll send the info out real soon, and we'll just fucking drink and watch games and. Talk shit. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah, we'll just pretend like we know the players on the team.
Nah, right. We don't know shit, and you don't know it either. And you're not watching it for that anyway. You don't know.
Bracket ain't gonna
you don't know
shit.
The point guard from Liberty University. Like, you don't give a fuck, dog.
That is true.
Nobody gives a fuck. You know, maybe like five college players tops, and you know, you just root for your school or schools that you know somebody that went to. Whatever makes sense.
Facts.
We'll make it happen, man.
Anything else? I wanted to just say thank you to everybody who came out to my shows in Columbus, in Ohio. All the Flagrant 2 fans out there, a lot of assholes there keeping it tight, and I appreciate you so much, man. I did 6 shows out there. I think we had a total of 1,600 people come out, so that was incredible, man. Yeah, I couldn't believe that I had that kind of just support out there in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to be in Miami this weekend, Friday and Saturday at the Comedy Inn. Some tickets still available for that. And then I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, one night only for South by Southwest Film Festival. And I'm going to do a show at the Cap City Comedy Club. Some tickets still available for that. Make sure you get that. That's going to be the 13th. And then I'm going to be in Toledo, Ohio, later in March at I think it's a Funny Bone out there as well, man. So make sure you check that out. If you got some family in Ohio that live in the Toledo area and you're from Columbus, let them know I'm pulling up, man.
Yes, sir.
And then more dates are available at theandrewschultz.com. You can get the rest of my tour dates. More dates to come. We can get some European dates out there. Oh, and also I got a Canadian date. My first theater that I'm doing on the tour is going to be the Royal Cinema in Toronto, and that's going to be on the 15th. Of April, so make sure you get tickets for that. That was moving real quick.
Nice.
So there's the dates right there. Oh, thank you, Alex.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir.
That. We should finish by talking about that James Harden crossover. But go continue.
Same thing as before. Caroline's March 30th. 2 shows. It's a Friday. I think you got that Friday off too. I think it's Good Friday. So come through to Caroline's 2 shows, 7:30 and 10. The ABDC comedy show. It's myself as a few other South Asian comedians.
What's the date?
Got some special guests. March 30th. So come through. That's a Friday. You got time.
Nice. Well, I'm in town. Time, I'm pulling bro. Up.
I'm
yo.
Pulling right, up
no
too,
doubt.
Dude.
I'm pulling up to support.
April 21st, Atlanta, Georgia. Duce Palooza comes to the Masquerade.
Hey.
4 to 9.
Yeah.
21 and over. Get your tickets at DucePalooza.com. And we come back home to New York City May 19th at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Let's sell that bitch out.
Oh, shit.
Yo, I'm coming through.
Please come through. Assholes coming through tight. Yo. And then, it's our first time doing Hammerstein Ballroom. We did Terminal 5 in December. And it's a venue I've always wanted to do. So as a big wrestling fan, it's a big deal to me to go there at the Manhattan Center. So
I cannot explain how dope this fucking party is.
Wait, what day is it? Friday?
May 19th.
It's a Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
What's so funny is that only a few hours later, Hillsong will be having their church run that exact same venue. All right, so get all your sitting out.
You can just stay there the whole day.
Real talk.
As soon as it's done, just fall asleep, wake up, and you'll be right in church.
And then you ask for forgiveness.
Sin? No, it's Christian, but sin your ass off at Deuce Palooza, fall asleep, pass out, stay there for Hillsong, and get reborn. What is it?
Sanctified.
Sanctified or some shit. I don't know enough about.
Yeah, big up to God and Jesus and
all that. Any other dates?
Those are the next two dates. No more dates as of yet, but we'll be announcing some soon.
All right, so let's talk about the most overhyped crossover in the history of
Was it overhyped?
It was adorable.
It was cute. It was cute.
I wasn't a
fancy look. I know. He looked down at him. Sucked his teeth probably. Like, ooh, you over there? You all the way over there? Look at you. Let me shoot this before you get
up. Even Wesley Johnson had to smile at it because it was so cute. Like,
that was a good look.
Spun the ball and shit. I thought it was great. I thought it was fun, man. I thought it was nice and disrespectful. And it kind of sucks because it happened like literally hours after we told you guys to leave a bunch of finger manicure emojis under his picture.
We're still doing that, by the way.
And they're still doing it, which is great. It's like, you heard your cute-ass game and shit. And the beautiful thing about this is like with all James Harden highlights, it was immediately upstaged 24 hours later by LeBron James.
Oh,
when
my God.
He went behind his back, split a double team, went through Tristan Thompson's legs, got the bump and the and one, which to me,
fucking believable.
If he means to do it or not, still way more impressive. It's more impressive that he didn't mean to do that to me. Because once it's like, all right, like it was a little bit of push off, but it was still fun. The stare and the spin and the shot and all that, it was still fun. But just from a technical standpoint, like it didn't get nearly as much hype as this did because it's social media, it's the generation of highlights and moments and shit like that.
Yeah.
But going behind the back, splitting a double team, going through your teammates' legs and your own legs.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Bro, it was unbelievable. I didn't even know what I watched.
It was like the dunk contest where like it happened so fast in real time. Like, oh, that was good.
Happened?
And then he saw the Insta replay. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. And that's the advantage that Harden's play had over LeBron's play, where it's like you needed an extra replay to really appreciate it. Whereas, like, what the doesn't even, like, how does it?
Dog, this is stupid.
It makes no sense. Like,
it's just stupid.
And it kind of gives LeBron, that's just kind of like James Harden's whole shtick, right? Like, we're all kind of waiting for something to happen. Like, even, like, Anthony Davis had, like, a week of good games.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, he's in the MVP conversation now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody ever really wants to, let James Harden live. And I think he's great. I think he's an amazing player. I think he's going to get MVP.
I think he's the best offensive player in the history of the game.
No, stop it.
I do.
Stop it. No.
I think he's the most complete. I don't mean the best. I think he's the best at passing, scoring, handling, et cetera. The one thing that you could say that he's not great at, and we just don't know yet, but is posting up.
I don't think. Here's my thing. I've seen too many Mike D'Antoni disciples to straight up give that to James Harden. You know what I mean? Like
nobody putting up numbers like this, dog.
I mean, like outside of like scoring, like Steve Nash was pretty much doing the same thing. It's just that he wasn't as big as strong as James Harden.
He wasn't rebounding.
No, he wasn't because he was like 6'2", soaking like a buck 60 soaking wet.
Right.
But
Steve Nash is one of the best players to play the game.
Oh, of course, of course.
He's an elite
but
guy.
I've seen the D'Antoni system work for so many people. Like, it gave us Linsanity.
Sure.
It gave us Nash.
But Jeremy Lin was never a great passer. I mean, like, James Harden James Harden is an elite passer. Passing is a skill you can't really learn. I really think you're either born with it or you're not. You know, like, Lonzo has great vision.
Yeah.
He just has it. There's certain guys that just don't, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you can be a decent guy. You can get the ball where it is. But some people just have, like, a knack for it.
Facts.
And this, that fucking pass that he does where he splits the double team.
Yeah, the pocket pass.
The pocket between his legs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this guy is an elite, whatever. My point is, his game is cute as fuck. And that's my issue with it because he's so fucking talented and whatever.
He doesn't need to do the fucking pump fake draw free throw bullshit that he does all the time.
Anytime he continues to do that, keep putting that fucking manicure emoji up.
Please do.
We love you guys for listening, man. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for fucking with us, assholes. Always keep it tight. Always throw it up, okay? When you see us in these streets, throw that fucking asshole up. Merch is available at flagrant2merch.com. Support us. Buy that shit. Wear it out. Let other people know. Keep listening. Spread the word. Let your homies know. Let's make this a movement. Let's make it a real army. Let's take over some shit and just body everybody.
Yes, sir.
It's been another episode of Flagrant 2. Peace.